Kamala Harris says she's not going to go to the border because it would just be a gesture. But she actually went to Guatemala, where she was greeted by protesters who were saying they liked Trump better, go home, and that they said Trump won. And then Kamala Harris said something really interesting. She said, don't come to the border. I was actually surprised that she said that, considering. But not really. I mean, Joe Biden said something similar. There's a big difference between what they say and what they do. And so far, their policies have been pretty bad. They finally formally ended the Remain in Mexico policy. Trump came out and said a whole bunch of stuff criticizing them. And I got to say, beyond this, Monday, it's crazy. There's a lot of news. We got an op-ed out of the Wall Street Journal saying the science suggests a lab leak. We got the scientist who told Fauci in January of last year that it may have been engineered, deleting his entire Twitter account after people pointed out that what he was sending to Fauci and what he was tweeting were completely different, which is very weird, suggesting the scientists doing the research the entire time were acting politically, saying one thing behind closed doors, but then saying certain things publicly for some reason. I wonder why.
And
we got some. Yeah, it is. We got other news too. This is crazy. An Amazon driver brutally beat a woman after she refused to check her white privilege and complained about a package delivery. You wonder where that racist, psychotic behavior comes from. Sorry, man. Look, I think racism is bad. I think anybody getting attacked, you know, based on race is extremely horrifying. Yeah. And there's a problem when the left is exacerbating racial hatred and violence. And we're going to talk about that. So we're hanging out once again with Seamus of Freedom Tunes.
Great to be here. And I just wanted to comment on the story about that scientist not being completely forthcoming about the information he had. It's interesting because I was told that we should trust the scientists. But as it turns out, they're human beings who sometimes say things that aren't true.
Man, it's like almost all of them are lying. There's a weird investigation. I should say there's an investigation, and it's weird because it's like this guy says to Fauci privately, hey, it looks engineered. Then publicly, he's like, nah, it's crazy. It's a conspiracy theory. But then like a few months later, Fauci gives apparently one of his organizations a grant. It's still being looked into. So I don't want to make, you know, we don't have anything pulled up, but I'm doing a lot of research on this, the journalism of trying to figure out what actually happened there. But some people are suggesting, maybe he said the right thing publicly. It's good for Fauci and then an organization. Or maybe it's just coincidence. We don't know. So we'll look into this. There's a lot of rumors flying around. Yeah. Oh, we got Ian. He's chilling.
Ian Crossland in the house. You know, there's no one I'd rather talk about racial violence with than you, Seamus. So
thank you.
Here.
I appreciate that, Ian. I don't know what that means, but I will always take it as a compliment.
it's
homies. Yes. It's a weird compliment. I don't know what it means, but Ian's saying it. I know Ian has a good heart.
It's because there's no one who understands racism better than a white Catholic Irish guy.
That's true. That's actually completely true.
Your ancestors have been through it. I mean, yeah. Irish people weren't actually white in the early days.
That's
right?
Actually a good
that's
point.
True. That's true. Weird? Couldn't drink from the white drinking fountains. That's actually
that's true.
No, I mean, yeah. I've got stories also from family members that I mentioned this on a show before. I don't want to divulge too much and give up too much of my family history, but yeah, Irish people didn't have it super great when they first came to the United States.
They did not. No.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in the corner as well, similarly Irish to Seamus, but I think my family came later. But yeah.
When did your family come to the States?
I would say in like the 20s, they moved to New Mexico.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Mine was like the early 1900s. Yeah.
Probably
just between your, yeah, just before mm-hmm. yours.
Good stuff.
Ian looks like some kind of Nordic. What are you
That's
Irish?
What I'm talking about. I think I'm, I'm Irish and German, mm-hmm. and huh. I think maybe Neanderthal.
possibly.
That explains it.
Yeah, it's the big forehead.
I had that too.
I feel like yeah. that. I've got the eyebrows, you know what I mean? So like
I'm Irish and British, so I'm internally conflicted and fighting.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Wild.
Yeah.
Now I understand.
I don't know why you just wouldn't give into the Irish. Yeah.
Why, what?
What's the conflict there? What does England even have against Ireland?
I know, yeah, or right? vice versa.
They just choose the Irish.
They both love each other. There's nothing bad between these countries.
Have you been to Ireland?
Yes.
Well,
I've been in Northern Ireland.
What were you doing over there?
There was it's the bonfire night. I forgot what it's called. I was in Belfast and they stack up like 60 foot wooden, like, so they stack up all of these wooden pallets super high and torch it. And the fire is so intense that it like burns holes in the ground.
Whoa.
I guess the left says it's like a bunch of fascists or something. And I'm like, I don't know, man.
Who
I was
do they
like,
not say that about though?
I know. So, but it's
John's
like,
Eve?
It's Northern Ireland, so, you know, the one group and the other group, and I'm like, I don't know, man, like, I'm just here, I'm like a tourist, and we're walking around, and people are starting fires, and I'm just chilling, so.
Was it like a festival?
It's like they do it every year.
Oh.
I guess. It's like bonfire night's like a big thing.
Great country. Although I've only been at the airport in Dublin.
Yeah, never been once.
I haven't actually been to, you know, Ireland. I was in Northern Ireland. So there's like, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
But it'll be interesting
that's
because
the war between the Irish and the British. That's what you end up with. Northern Ireland. Right. That's why you were there.
That's yeah. All right. Let's read the news and talk about the Kamala Harris and then these other stories. Before we do, head over to TimCast.com and click the members only button to become a member of TimCast.com. And then you get access to the members only area. Last week, we had a really great discussion. It was almost an hour long. Me and Seamus, we were talking about pro-life, pro-choice, and all these things. And people are really getting into the comments. So if you want to check that out, go there. But also, we're about a week or two away from the launch of our newsroom, which will be rudimentary at first. But we're going to be bringing on journalists. And what I will be doing, when you become a member, here's what happens. The money, it goes to funding this operation, of which is going to, there's going to be on-the-ground reporters. We're going to have, you know, standard newsroom reporting, fact-checking. We're starting with one reporter and a few contract reporters. Then we're going to have probably a fact-checker. And we're already at the point where I am trying to contract out documentary production, news dispatch production. So we are there, baby. We're ready to go. And so and now it's just a matter of, I guess, hiring the people who can oversee this. So the first person we hire is probably going to oversee budgeting for sending out crews to go on the ground, go to these various cities during conflict, right? Just like the riot squad does, but we'll have our own crew that does it. And a fact-checking network. So that's what your membership gets. So for you, you get to watch all this great content. But more importantly, you're helping us build the site because the new site's going to be launching really soon. Check it out. Become a member. And don't forget to like this video, subscribe to this channel, share the show with your friends if you think we do a good job. I'm thinking in the next couple of weeks, you guys are going to be really excited and impressed, and we're going to get all the shares because everyone's going to be like, this is great. We need more of this. We need more field reporting. And we're definitely going to be funding undercover and investigative reporting, which is going to cause a lot of controversy and, I don't know, maybe eventually get us banned on the internet. We'll see what happens. But let's jump into
that. Can I say something there? When you mentioned fact-checking, it reminded me, I actually need to fact-check myself. I got a fact wrong on our last show or two shows
what
ago.
Was it?
I said the U.S. has more economic mobility than any other developed nation. That's not true. It's higher than most people think. So like 12% of people will be in the top 1% at some point. 56% of people will be in the top 10%. The income brackets are really fluid, but we don't have the most economic mobility. So I was incorrect about that. I'd have to double check. I just know it's not us once I look back into it. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So that's my mistake. If I make a mistake, I want to clear it up. I don't want to spread misinformation. So.
Oh, man.
I wonder,
Tim's kicking me out.
Because like, you go from peasant to party member.
You go down really fast. No.
Downward mobility. Let's talk about what's going on in Guatemala. We got the story from the New York Post. Guatemala's president blames Biden for border crisis as protesters tell Kamala Harris that Trump won. This is amazing. These photos. Go home, Kamala. Go home. Kamala, mind your own business. Ooh. And a big sign that says Kamala Trump won. That is crazy. I didn't expect this. I would have thought, I take that back. This makes a whole lot of sense. The people who are staying in Guatemala probably like what Trump's policies are towards, you know, Guatemala and what they should and shouldn't be doing. The people who are leaving Guatemala, they're not going to like Trump, right?
That makes sense.
Yeah, because Trump's the guy's blocking them from trying to get into the U.S. Mm-hmm. So naturally, the people who remain are like, yeah, go Trump.
Well, and you sort of touched on this earlier, but the messaging that the Biden administration is sending to people who might be considering migrating to the U.S. is so mixed. Like Kamala goes down there and she says, if you're thinking of coming here illegally, don't even try it because you will not be welcome. If you're one of the illegal immigrants who's already here, one of the 11 million plus who are already here, you know, you're going to be naturalized and we're going to give you citizenship because there needs to be a path for citizenship because anything else would be inhumane. But you're not welcome to come here if you're not here. It's insane.
This is one of the biggest problems of this administration, okay? Because I want to do that check. Do we have Biden derangement syndrome? Mm. No.
Yeah.
No, we don't. Check it out. Dallas News reports VP Harris in Guatemala says border visit would be mere grand gesture. Warns migrants do not come. Okay, come on. I mean, look, maybe gesture, fine, whatever. Trump went down and surveyed a lot of the border. It was a big issue. He knows the American people were concerned about it. He went. I think about this, like, you know, Trump derangement syndrome or Biden derangement syndrome thing. And I'm like, I think it really does in many ways come down to a difference in opinion based on what deserves priority. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's a lot of people who are like liberals, leftists, mostly liberals, leftists, your different space, liberals who are just like, I don't care all that much about illegal immigration. I just don't. And so Republicans do, and then the left is like, why aren't you talking about January 6th? And Republicans don't. They're like, because it was a riot. So it really is like a difference of opinion that there's no obviously in media, there's a lot of fact-based problems where the left or the right believe different things. But I think a lot of it's just subjective morality. I don't think January 6th was the apocalypse. I think it was a riot. I think it was bad. I think it was, you know, it was serious, but not the apocalypse like they're painting it to be. What did Anderson Cooper say? Is what he said?
Oh, well, no. I was going to
chime in with something else. He said the worst attack on this country since the Civil
9/11?
War.
Oh, jeez. Civil War. Wow. I'm like, even wow. Worse. That is hardcore.
Wow, JFK getting assassinated? Sure.
But I mean, so I hear what you say about people putting different emphasis on different issues based on where they are in the political spectrum. But the Biden administration's messaging on this has been very confused. Sometimes they're saying things that are very like warm and friendly and open to people who want to come here. And then other times it's, well, you're not welcome. So like Biden putting a moratorium on deportations and then Kamala going down and saying illegal immigrants are not welcome here to me seems ridiculously conflicting, regardless of how you feel about illegal immigration as an issue.
It's a funhouse mirror of policy. Mm-hmm. Because early on in his campaign, and even, you know, Biden got blocked from doing this, but Biden was like, we're going to put a moratorium on deportations. Come on, man. And then, you know, he gets in. And he now they've officially ended, as of June 1st, the Remain in Mexico policy, mm-hmm. which was Donald Trump's policy that said, if you come to the border, we'll process your asylum while you remain in Mexico. So they officially ended that. Now they're doing catch and release. So people are, they're once again, encouraging people to come in. They catch them, let them go. In fact, Joe Biden, his administration has been smuggling migrant children into different states in the dead of night, which is one of the creepiest things I've ever heard.
Things.
Now, here's the funhouse mirror. Because now Kamala Harris says, do not come, right? That's funny. Like a week ago, Biden announced he was increasing the amount of refugees and asylees they would allow into the United States. Yeah. So Biden's like, we're going to increase the amount of people that we allow in. And then Kamala goes, but don't come.
Yeah, exactly.
They're going to be like, nah, I'll come. And Biden's going to let me in. What?
And that's the thing. This is sort of what I was touching on a little bit earlier. I don't know if I articulated it quite well enough, but to say we need to naturalize all of the illegal immigrants who are already here, but then turn around and say, none of you should cross the border, though, to me is completely pointless. Of course they're going to come over here. Like, what are you saying? You're welcoming them. You're inviting them, even if not with your words, with your actions.
But I kind of feel like that's part of it. You know, Kamala Harris can go. She won't go to the border. Mm-hmm. Right. That's serious. She's showing she's not serious. Right.
It's just a gesture, Tim.
Right. It's not a priority for her. And that's what I was saying. Like, I think a lot of Democrats are just like, who cares? I think people like Kamala, she's thinking about, is this going to get me votes? The answer is no. Because mm-hmm. the Democratic base, yeah. they were the ones that wanted open borders. They were the ones that on the debate stage, the moderator, I can't remember who was, how many of you are in favor of giving universal health care to illegal immigrants or illegal aliens? And they all raised their hand. My favorite is the Democrats who like kind of look around like, is this what we're about now?
They're like, really? Okay, all right, guys. I guess like, this is the thing.
So I think Kamala's just like, I don't care. It's like, oh, I know some people are bothered by it, so I got to say something, but she's not going to say much. Meanwhile, the actual policies are making the problem worse. And, this is crazy. Lady just pulled this up. The Denver Gazette. Republican wins mayoral race in majority Hispanic McAllen, Texas. McAllen is where they expanded the detention center. And they got the kids sleeping in dirt.
Big issues.
So if you look at South Texas, if you look at Miami, dude, remember during the 2020 election, there was a safe blue district in Miami flipped red.
Yeah.
That was crazy. It's because... What did this guy say? He said something about communism was being bad. I don't know. Maybe it wasn't this guy. But these areas, like South Texas, majority Hispanic, they do not like illegal immigration. And I have to imagine, because a lot of these hardworking Americans, people who came here legally, are working. And they're seeing what's happening.
I think this is correct. I actually had a friend who came from Chihuahua. And she told me that her parents told her that she was going to do it legally so that people would respect her. She did not like illegal immigrants. She's like, they just come here. It's easy for them. They get everything they want. I worked so hard, and they're just taking advantage of this system. And it's literally the system I'm now paying into. It's not there.
I would imagine. I don't know for sure, but like, if you're in a big city, the illegal immigrants that are there are already kind of assimilated. Like, they have jobs, sort of. But the ones on the border are like random people that just got over here. Maybe don't even have any intention of going to a city to get work. They just want to avoid the chaos of South America.
I don't know. Biden's been sending migrant kids in the dead of night to various states.
Yeah,
they're shipping these illegal immigrants into like Ohio, and then having them detained by the local police. They're like, oh, we detained these illegal immigrants, so we need the police in Ohio to hold them. Then once they get them, say, okay, cut them loose, and they release them directly into their community. It's spreading them out all across the country. It is the weirdest thing. Now, I have a question, though. In the story about Kamala and, like, the protesters, who's the racist one?
Oh man, that's rough. Well, here's what we'd have to figure out, Tim. We need to do an analysis on the crowd and figure out how many are men and how many are women, because Kamala is a woman of color.
Right.
If most of the people in the crowd are women, to the point where we could say the crowd is represented by women, then it's kind of a toss-up. But if the crowd is mostly male, in fact, it doesn't even matter, right? If there's any men in the crowd, then the crowd is somewhat male. So Kamala has to be the victim here, no? Based on the rules of intersectionality?
You've got math planned for this.
Exactly. I know what's up.
I guess the serious question is, like, I think one of the reasons you're not going to see this story prominently on the left is just that it makes no sense for the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
Like a third world country, or however they would describe it, minority country, saying they like Trump better. Uh-oh. McAllen, yeah. Texas, they flip Republican. Mm-hmm. South Texas District, Miami, flip Trump. Guatemala, we like Trump better.
Yeah.
I'm not saying everybody in Guatemala likes Trump better, but it's...
He's going to run there. He's like, going to Guatemala, I'll become president.
Heard you love
then he
me.
Becomes president of Guatemala, just takes over the United States.
What?
Wow. Dude, it's Trump.
I
have he just made a huge release there, too.
Get, because I could do it. I get the job done.
I know a lot
if
of people.
If anyone could, it's him.
He just 100% approval in Guatemala and then annexes the neighboring
exactly.
countries.
Starts
until
annexing neighboring countries until he gets to the United States.
There you go.
Honestly, I could see Trump just going for it right from Guatemala. He's like, we're going to war. We're going to take America.
I don't know what the average worker is supposed to think about this kind of thing.
I love that people around the world are invested in the politics of the United States to the point where they're going to complain. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's awesome to me. This is global. This is way beyond.
I mean,
kind of.
I kind of like when people aren't that invested in our politics and don't comment on it. If I'm completely honest.
Yeah,
those
like
days
why, done. Why is it that so many places around the world are obsessed with America?
I think because of Hollywood.
They hate us because they ain't us.
Man. we got like the cultural hub of the world in Hollywood. We have the fiscal, the fiscal hub of the world with the U.S. Federal Reserve and the U.S. dollar. This kind of the Bank of England.
I mean, we have the World Reserve currency.
The
for
Swiss
sure.
Bank. It's kind of coming out of Switzerland, but we're like the spearhead. So the world looks at us as like the financial centerpiece and the cultural centerpiece.
For
not
sure.
us necessarily, but this country.
I think it's movies.
Exactly. When you look at what Hollywood is churning out, I get why the world hates us.
It's
I
like,
do understand. I don't even think it's our foreign policy. I really think it's all. I'm being facetious here. But.
No. It's like in that Vox article from, I think it was like a year ago or 2 years ago. Yeah, I think it was 2 years ago now. Where they asked one of the migrants in the caravan why they were coming to America. And the guy said, I miss Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah.
I'm like. Buffalo Wild Wings is like, there's a bunch in Mexico, you know? Like, the restaurant. I mean, I love B-dubs too.
Maybe it's just not as good there, though.
Can't remember the last time I went
to B-dubs. Oh, BW3s is Buffalo Wild Wings?
Buffalo Wild Wings?
I didn't know that's what BW stood for.
B-dubs.
Yeah, BW3s.
What is it?
That was a BW.
If it's like
W
to the third
Ohio.
Power, like what?
No, I don't know. They just called it BW3s. It was in Ohio.
Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah.
Get it?
It's only
double W's?
Yeah.
B-dubs? Come on, bro. B-dubs. You never had
Buffalo
B-dubs?
Wild
Wings. You've never had Buffalo Wild Wings?
I don't think you're talking about the same thing.
Oh, you're talking about Buffalo sauce, which is Frank's Red Hot. And that's
what?
Like the secret ingredient in Buffalo Wild Sauce is Frank's Red Hot.
Anyway, dude.
You're talking about a restaurant.
Yes, I'm talking about these people who are walking through Mexico. And the reporter is like, why are you why won't you stay in Mexico? And the guy's like, I miss Buffalo Wild Wings. And I'm like, dude, it's right there in Mexico City. I went there. No joke. I went to the Mexico City Buffalo Wild Wings. It was great. It's wonderful.
I mean, this is like me
boneless
missing
wings,
Portillo's.
Honey barbecue.
Like, why are you going back to Chicago? I've missed Portillo's.
That's right.
I mean, I didn't go to Chicago for that.
But you ordered it.
You ordered it, man. It's fantastic.
It's true.
That's why I come here. Someone in the audience asked if I was kidnapped. Actually, Tim just has Portillo's.
No, but I think when it comes to these migrants, they're watching American TV commercials, movies, and so their whole perception of reality is based upon American cities and stuff.
You see, YouTubers.
Well, I mean, this is also a great place to live.
It is.
It's awesome.
In many ways. I mean, it's going downhill, unfortunately, especially with the kinds of things we've been tolerating over the past year and a half, particularly, though those are probably more of a symptom of the issues we've been tolerating for much longer than that. But, yeah, America's a great place.
It's okay to
go
downhill
sometimes.
Yeah, we got
B-dubs. We got Buffalo Wild Wings. That's why people are coming here.
It's like going sledding. Yeah, we're going downhill.
How many times do we say Buffalo Wild Wings so far?
I don't know. They should be paying you.
I'm supposed to say it five times.
We're just wasting.
We have to name it five times.
Been to Quaker Steak and Lube on the border of Ohio and Pennsylvania?
This is what
best wings place in the world. or in the United States.
What?
Tim's, I don't know. I think that's true. You just have 100 like sauces.
Get sponsorship deals with all sorts of food places where we'll be discussing something political, and then Ian turns it over to some kind of food, and we have to explain a restaurant to him.
Yes.
Like, that will be just a brilliant marketing scheme because people will think it's authentic.
Yeah.
It would be funny if we actually had just like 50 sponsors per show, and we've got this big story from NBC News. Supreme Court unanimously rules against immigrants with temporary status. Man, that's almost as shocking as the delicious flavor of the Popeye's chicken sandwich. I'm just kidding.
I honestly couldn't believe it when I tasted it.
Crispy skin.
This is a throwback joke for the people watching who have no idea what's happening. No, but let's jump to the story. This is 9-0. This is crazy. Supreme Court unanimously rules against immigrants. If they enter the country illegally and they have temporary protected status, they cannot get green cards.
Here's what I love about this, and I appreciate it that it says in this. It's just kind of a funny headline that it says the Supreme Court unanimously rules against immigrants with temporary status, and then right below, okay, like illegal immigrants. And then at the very, very, very bottom of the article in the last paragraph, Monday's decision does not affect immigrants with TPS who initially entered the U.S. legally. It's like,
so it's okay. So the headline literally is immigrants, but this is what they're doing.
Exactly.
They've been consistently conflating illegal immigrants with immigrants
for years.
Yeah.
For years.
Why?
Because it's an easy way to win the discussion. Like, who wants to say they're against immigrants? It's much easier to say you're against illegal immigration. You don't like when people break the rules and they come into your country despite the fact that your nation has set up certain parameters for someone entering so that we can monitor who's coming in, and they've decided to disobey those rules. That's reasonable. How could you disagree with that? But if you say that those people are just mean haters who don't like immigration in general,
so it keeps dumb people in check? Because anybody who actually can, anyone who can actually read this and discern what's happening knows they're not talking about immigrants who enter the country illegally.
And they're not talking about refugees. That's a big difference, is a refugee and an illegal immigrant. If someone's fleeing hostility, we have a duty to take them in, I think. You know, most people do.
There's limits.
Yeah, within limitations, so you don't destroy your own system. But
exactly.
Illegal immigration is not that.
Well, and this is the point, right? Yes, we should be helping people who need our help, but the well-being of the people already living in the country needs to be taken into account. There has to be some kind of balancing act. But if you support unrestricted illegal immigration, what you're saying is that balancing act doesn't matter. As many people can flood this country as want to without there being any oversight. And if you disagree with that, you're a hater. And the way they convince people of that is by framing it as a discussion of people who are pro-immigrant or anti-immigrant rather than people who are pro-illegal immigration and pro-following the law.
Bro, there is a chaotic, destructive entity hacking away at the roots of this nation. And it's hard to even say that we remain a nation. I know a lot of people on the left will immediately, they attack this idea. If you come out and you say that we are at risk of not being a country anymore, the left will immediately start attacking you. Why? It's true. It's a vulnerable spot for them. Let's think about a few things. The Democrats in the debate stage in last year and in the year prior in the election cycle raised their hand to give taxpayer-funded medical care to non-citizens. California's actually done it. You've got Democratic interests and media conflating illegal immigration with legal immigration. Why? Because they want it. Mm-hmm. You've got the same ideology, this woke group, literally rewriting American history, the 1619 Project.
Yep.
Now it's being resisted. But when you, like we mentioned this last week, but when you've got people rewriting history and teaching it in schools, a totally revised American history. Now, Washington State, this was Jason Rance reported this, is mandating critical race theory. So you know they're teaching kids fake American history. What's going to happen? These kids are going to grow up and they're going to be like, America was founded in 1619 as a slaveocracy. And you're going to be like, that's made up. We know it's made up. We actually had debunkers and news. Doesn't matter. They teach it to the kids. 20 years from now, they'll say, I know what's true. You're lying. That's my reality. Mm-hmm. So now the history of this country is under attack. The embassies are flying flags of that ideology. The people who are pushing that ideology and politically are trying to flood the country. They're saying illegal immigration and immigration are the exact same thing. Legal immigration is fantastic. I think it's great. We get a lot of high skilled work. We basically, when we have legal immigration, in many instances, I was reading this story about it. There's like a good portion of those who immigrate legally are high skilled workers, and then a good portion are low skilled workers. But the high skilled workers are bringing their innovation, their technology, their resources and ideas into the U.S. It's great for us. Illegal immigration, not so much. It's bad for everybody. It creates a massive supply of a workforce at the lower level, making work So you have a massive supply and limited demand for low-skilled labor, making it more difficult for people in America. Overall, it's just very bad for lower-income individuals. They're conflating these things. They're claiming that, you know, the right are the ones destroying democracy, that are attacking democracy. If this keeps going this direction, and I think it likely will because Republicans don't do anything about it, Republicans engage in the conversation the Democrats decide they do, then in 20 years, there will not be a United States as we know it. The history is going to be 1619, and there's going to be a complete shift in demographics in every different place, especially with Biden, you know, shuffling immigrant children, illegal immigrant children all across the country. It is going to erode at our civic institutions. And I think this is one of the big reasons Democrats keep saying democracy and why they've been saying it for a long time. We're not a democracy. We've never been a democracy. We have democratic institutions like our electoral process, but we are a constitutional republic. Democracy makes it easier to subvert the will of, you know, of the citizens. So now we're going to be entering a period where, yeah, your money's going to get stripped away from you. Joe Biden is putting an invisible tax on the working class and the lower class in a variety of ways, and it continues to just eat away at the United States. And what's going to be done about it? I mean, there's a resistance, but a resistance is not a reversal. So we can talk about this. We can vote for certain individuals. But in the end, you get Republicans who agree with the framing from the Democrats, agree with them in the long run, and in 10 years, the Republicans will be completely aligned with where the Democrats are today, and the Democrats will move continually in this other direction until what?
Yeah, I mean, the entire nation vote falls apart. And I've said that. I hope I'm not starting to sound like a broken record on these points, but I've said this in the past. I mean, leftism is just social decay transformed into an ideological system of thought. And so it almost seems inevitable. But on the other hand, I think we can turn this around. I think you're absolutely right that all Republicans or conservatives are trying to do is resist instead of putting forward an ideology of their own. And that's a huge part of why they're losing. And I'll sound like a broken record again, but this is also why I believe, like, fundamentally conservatism has to be rooted in Catholicism. You have to have values that you're forwarding. You can't just say X, Y, and Z that the left is trying to do are bad, but we're not going to give you a coherent system of thought that should replace that, or which is undergirding our present system that we should stick to.
Yeah, Republicans are against things. Democrats are for things.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And if that's the case, then you're going to get a bunch of leftists saying, we want this, and Republicans saying, slow down. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And then eventually they get what they want. Now, I think the Trump era, Trump supporters want things. Mm-hmm. And they're demanding.
Exactly.
And so that was a problem for the left. I guess the issue is, if you live in the blue-pilled reality of the Democrats, you know, the Republicans are snarling demons who have ultimate power and everything's their fault when they could barely get anything done. The left frames everything. The Democrats frame everything as, if we don't get what we want, Republicans are evil. The Republicans aren't even asking for anything. So it's basically them saying, we've got a bunch of what we want more. What? The Republicans are evil for not giving us more of what we want.
Yeah, exactly.
There is no pushback for the most part from the Republican Party, except for these new Trump Republicans, Trump himself. That was a problem for all of us and the Democrats, because the Democrats are obstinate. They will not stop. They will not shut up. They will not back down. Finally, you get Republicans willing to fight back. And then it's an unstoppable force and an immovable object. Eventually, it's just, there's going to be a fracturing of the United States. I wonder if this ultimately is just where it comes from. Is it a psychological operation? Are we under attack? Are we being manipulated? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We
I'm not sure.
I don't think probably that it's
I keep thinking about the Roman Empire. It seems like things are so stable here, but then it also seems like we kind of don't have a culture in the United States. We've got, like, so many cultures that it's like, how do you pinpoint what we are as a nation? We have the Constitution. That's very basic. The Roman Empire, people would migrate in, and it was very dangerous when people would come in, because what would happen is they'd migrate in, nothing would happen, then their friends and family would come migrate in, and then all of a sudden you'd have like 100,000 people in a city from another country, and they'd overthrow the mayor and take control of the city.
Yeah.
And then the state, the surrounding lands. So that is very real with immigration. That's why you have to be careful about your borders and about letting too many people of different cultures that don't value the Constitution, the government, necessarily.
Well, can you imagine if, like, 170,000 people poured over the border of a country and then the president of that country released a video welcoming people and thanking them for choosing his country?
Why did Biden do that?
That literally happened in March, at the end of March, yeah. Wow. In March, 170,000 people. It was a 15-year high in terms of people spilling over the border. And Biden released a video. Granted, it was for people who are being naturalized as citizens. But what he says is, thank you for choosing America. It takes a lot of courage to cross over that border and come to this nation, et cetera. So it's just setting us up for destruction, ultimately. Very
yeah,
sad. And it would be one thing if he was saying that to people, because he was speaking to people who are becoming citizens. But the problem is, when you release that kind of messaging at a time when the left is insistent upon conflating immigration and illegal immigration, you are basically giving the okay to everyone who wants to come into this country illegally to do so.
Have you seen the price of gold lately? It's hitting all-time highs. And when it comes to investing in gold, check out Noble Gold Investments. They have a track record of excellence that's second to none. Just look at their thousands of five-star reviews on Trustpilot, Google, and the Better Business Bureau. Customers rave about their knowledgeable staff, smooth investment process, and life-changing results, which you can see for yourself online. That's the kind of reputation you can count on. But it's not just about the reviews. Noble Gold Investments truly care about their clients. They take the time to understand your unique needs and goals, and they give expert guidance every step of the way. That level of personalized service is rare in this industry. Look, when it comes to securing your financial future, you can't afford to take chances. Go with the gold company that has earned the trust of countless investors. Visit noblegoldinvestments.com/timpool today and discover why Noble Gold Investments is the only choice for smart, secure gold investments. Or give them a call at 877-646-5347. Again, that number is 877-646-5347.
With this mixed messaging that they've been giving now is like, if you're here, we're gonna say it's okay, mm-hmm. but don't come. It's basically like saying, but if you get here and no one knows, then yeah. we're gonna treat you like you're fine.
Exactly.
So that's insane.
It's insane. It's completely insane. Unless it is their intention to get as many people here as possible and then naturalize them and then build a loyalty and a relationship between those people and their political party so that they win forever.
I'm not entirely then convinced that sense. Would happen.
Maybe it wouldn't, and I hope it wouldn't. But I think that if there is a plan, that's it.
Look at South Texas, McAllen. Mm-hmm. We were talking about this. I mean, Hispanic areas flipped. They're going Republican.
I think that's fantastic. And there are many conservatives who predicted that kind of thing would happen, because I think Mexican people tend to be more socially conservative, and that's where most immigrants are coming from. But that's definitely not something the left has been banking on.
Yeah.
The left has sort of assumed that they own immigrants in immigration, and they tend to believe that they can depend upon virtually every minority group to support them.
I'm just, man, I don't know if I have confidence in the current opposition to what the Democrats and left have been doing to believe that we are headed down a path where we can preserve our values, free speech, for one, and the right to bear arms, obviously, but more just like our moral framework and our values as a nation.
Yeah.
When you get a bunch of people who aren't from here who come in, it's mostly just about a nice place to live. It's not about the values of the country. That's why when you take the citizenship test, they ask you have to learn the history of the country. They want you to know and respect this country and what it represents, who the presidents were, and things like that. When people come here illegally, they don't know or care about any of that. They're just coming and saying, here's my chance, you know, to get some resources. Mm-hmm. Now, the left's response is usually like, oh, it's no big deal. You won't even notice. And it's just absurd to think that there's not going to be an impact. You mean to tell me that when it comes to climate change, you know, all of these farting cows and all of these individuals using electricity and air conditioning, it's extremely bad. You mean to tell me that the individual has an impact on climate change, but the individual coming in here illegally doesn't have an impact on our economy? How about we frame it that way, right? The United States produces more carbon emissions than a bunch of other countries, so the last thing we want is more Americans, right? No, I guess they're fine with that. They just want to transform the economy as well. So what do you mean to tell me? You're going to invite 170,000 people in 1 month, but then also take away their means of actually maintaining themselves through the economy? They can't use electricity. They can't produce carbon. Then all you're doing is encouraging them to go on these long and dangerous journeys. Then once they get here, you make them do serf labor in exchange for nothing but limited access to resources. Meanwhile, the ultra rich are allowed to do whatever they want.
Yeah, exactly. You're kind of building an underclass. And there's a few things you said there which I'd like to dive into. When you're talking about immigration, it's sort of the distinction between illegal immigration and legal immigration. there are a number of people who have made the criticisms that, well, you know, a lot of conservatives say that they're in favor of immigration, but they're against illegal immigration. But that's incoherent because then they should be okay with us allowing anyone into this country as long as we make them a naturalized citizen through some kind of process. But the entire purpose of having an immigration system is, as I said earlier, oversight. And so I think what we need to be doing in terms of our messaging isn't just saying we are against illegal immigration. We have to be talking about the immigration system which we want to build, or the one which was supposed to be here, which we would like to maintain. And that is one which says if somebody wants to come here, as you've stated, they have to prove to us that they are interested in promoting our values.
Did you know that Jon Stewart once, a few years ago, 6 years ago or 7 years ago, advocated for the draft?
Whoa.
Jon Stewart
yes,
said we must
work.
Bring back the... No, he said the draft.
I think he said, like, draft people into doing volunteer work, though.
Well, he said...
For the greater good of the country.
Yes, he said the draft, and he said, but it could be... You know what? I could simplify his entire quote down to a very simple sentence. Service guarantees citizenship.
Oh.
Jon Stewart endorsed... He didn't say that, though.
Okay.
But that was basically what he was saying. It would give people a skin in the game, a stake. I agree.
But
I agree with Jon Stewart about his statements on the draft.
But here's where it gets complicated. Service guarantees citizenship. The problem is, I mean, there is already a kind of service which is taking place. When people come into this country, they're doing jobs, not that Americans aren't willing to do, but that Americans aren't willing to do as inexpensively as they will do them. And so they're already providing a service. But the problem is, at some point, you oversaturate the market and make life more difficult for people who are already here. So that's why I would be a bit apprehensive about that. Even if they are coming here and providing some kind of service, at some point, we still reach a limit where there are too many people, and no matter how badly someone wants to come here and serve, we just can't let them.
Could you imagine if the U.S. said, like, literally anybody, serve 2 years in the armed forces as, like, frontline infantry, and you'll get citizenship?
Oh, my goodness.
That's the U.S.
Like, that's Roman style, yeah.
Yeah, the U.S. would have, like, a million ground troops every year added to their ranks. So they don't do it exactly like that. It would be, that's a pretty evil thing, in my opinion.
Well, yeah. And it would also, I would imagine, you mentioned the Romans at this, but I would imagine that would be a really horrible military strategy because you have a bunch of people who aren't committed to the ideas of your nation and don't necessarily have any loyalty to it, and now they're on the front lines of your military.
Yeah,
like,
but
those people could be completely anti-America and they could just be infiltrating your armed forces.
But it's the Zap Brannigan strategy, you know? If we get into a full-scale conflict with another nation and you can just send wave after wave
so
of your
horrible.
Own.
Yeah, very evil.
Yeah. But, I think about the, so the reason I brought that up is I'm thinking about the erosion of the United States and what this means moving forward. And here's what freaks me out, right? We got this story here. This one, from Forbes. Anticipating war with China, the U.S. Air Force is fanning out across the Pacific. So the U.S. Air Force is concerned that a Chinese rocket attack would wipe out two of our most prominent Air Force bases. So we are dispatching all of these different squadrons to different airports and different islands all across the Pacific. So we have rapid response. We've decentralized so they can't just take us out. This gets me worried because we have another story here. I covered this last week, June 1st. Pentagon eyes new bombs for war with China, not ISIS. The Pentagon's been shifting up its strategy. No longer are we engaging in preparations for war in the Middle East. You know, there's a report saying we're like halfway out of Afghanistan. And now the bombs they're buying are for Pacific warfare and not Middle Eastern warfare. And it could just be we're all done. Middle East is over. We got enough oil. We've built enough nation. We're out. And because of that, well, we might as well buy bombs for Pacific because that's a bigger threat, right? Or it could be that we're actually gearing up towards a war with China. Now here's what freaks me out. The U.S. is in chaos, man. I mean, maybe we're not. Maybe it's all an illusion, but come on. You look at news, they're screaming at insurrection. Anderson Cooper claiming January 6th was the worst political attack on the U.S. since the Civil War. And I'm like, I seem to recall John F. Kennedy getting his head blown off, but okay, dude, whatever you say, that's insanity. What happens right now if China moves in on Taiwan and the U.S. can do nothing to stop it?
There it is.
I mean,
we have to stand by. There's no way. I don't think I would ever authorize arms against China.
To defend Taiwan?
Not unless it was our soil or like an ally or something.
I mean, they're an ally.
They are an ally.
So this is where things get bad because if China does move into Taiwan and there's serious fear in the U.S. that they are planning an invasion. I mean, we see the beaching drills. There's photos of it. And their planes are flying over the Taiwan Strait. They're sending strike groups through the Strait of Taiwan. It's not just about Taiwan. It's about China's incursions into the South China Sea. It's about their military bases, their expansion, their violation of certain international conventions. So The fear I have is the U.S. is clearly preparing for war. China, they've been gearing up for some time. This is a more direct announcement. What this says to me is, do you think the U.S. military just decided right now that they're worried about war with China? Do you think it was just like today? They're like, hey, oh, there might be war with China. Let's move our planes. Or is it more likely they got intelligence classified about a potential war with China, made a bunch of crazy economic moves behind the scenes, and then made the public moves everyone can see?
Could be. China also said, I think I heard from you, that China was like threatened nuclear war if we tried to investigate.
Yeah. Well, in response to Biden's call for an investigation into COVID, the head of Global Times said, we need to start building more nuclear bombs, send a shiver down the spine of the American elite.
Okay, yeah, that's, I think,
which is another way of saying we are innocent and didn't do anything <That's right>. wrong.
And obviously the incursions, the Hong Kong, the way they treated protesters in Hong Kong was drastic.
I think we're in trouble, man.
Oh, 100%.
Joe Biden didn't commemorate D-Day.
Mm.
Really?
Why not?
I don't know. I don't. Here's one of the issues.
He probably didn't know what day it was.
Oh, that's
for good. Sure. That's not even a joke.
No, I know.
C-Day or E-Day, I was
kidding, because obviously people in his administration would know and make some kind of announcement.
Tell him to do it.
Yeah.
Hey, or tweet for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, here's one of the problems. I don't know every year, every tweet that's ever been sent out or every statement that's ever been made about D-Day. It could just be that now we're in this deeply tribal political realm. Mm-hmm. Conservatives noticed Biden didn't do this, brought it up, and everyone's like, hey, yeah, why didn't you? And it's like, well, I don't know, maybe Jimmy Carter didn't, I don't know. Or maybe he still should have regardless. He didn't, and a lot of other people did. Maybe Kamala Harris saying enjoy the long weekend is also an alarming statement. Yeah. Maybe Kamala Harris refusing to go to the border is also kind of alarming, and it makes me feel like our current administration is not invested in this country. I feel like we have an administration that in a normal timeline shouldn't have won, but we aren't in a normal timeline. What I mean by this is normally you get a strong administration that wants to win, that wants a policy, that wants to put things forward and make these demands. Well, that was Trump's administration. Man, did he want some crazy stuff, a big, beautiful wall from sea to shining sea, 30 feet concrete. He had plans. He wanted things. Biden, his whole campaign was that he was not Trump. So what happens? People really didn't like Trump. A lot of things happen. We'll see what happens with this Maricopa stuff. Joe Biden ends up, getting 81 million votes. He wins the election with no plan. No one voted for anything. They just didn't want Trump. Now we have an administration that clearly doesn't care. So I want to say a normal timeline. They weren't proposing anything substantive other than Joe Biden was hiding the whole time. He was just like hiding in the basement. Everyone's like, where's Biden? Oh, calling the lid. Yeah, calling the lid.
Yeah.
No press. So this is what you get. Now we're facing the very serious prospect of war with China. Our military seems to think so. And what can we expect in the event that war actually breaks out? My fear is that war will come to us no matter what we do. And this is a fear that a lot of people have in government. And it leads to very pro-war sentiment, which I disagree with. But the world is not so black and white. You can't just be like, I'm against war, therefore I will never go to war. And it's like, then you get wiped out.
No, I mean, I understand that I'm very anti-war. The number of wars that I would be willing to support, let's just say it's an extremely narrow subset. That said, this is a really complicated situation. I'm not going to sit here and automatically say there's nothing that could ever justify that. I very much do not want to see war with China, but this is an extremely complicated situation. And
let's talk.
It's one, yeah.
Conspiracies.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Well, this is also, I mean, obviously we should do everything we possibly can to avoid that war if at all possible. I'm not coming down on one side or the other. I'm being the milquetoast fence sitter here, but it's also because I haven't most of my interest in foreign policy has been directed towards the Middle East because that's where the United States has been screwing around for the past two decades. But when it comes to China, I guess I just hadn't really considered that it was a realistic possibility until very recently.
So you oppose war with China?
What?
You oppose war with China?
I would like not to go to war with China, but also I have no idea. I mean, there could be reasons that someone brings to my attention. Yeah, I'm not dogmatic on this.
Just wanted to clarify real quick. So my position is, I don't want to go to war with China, but the war may come to us either way.
That's my point. Yes.
So I'm a bit more in the middle than you. That means, Ian, you have to take the pro war with China position.
I'm obsessed with it.
I'm kidding.
Yeah. Ian's always telling me.
I wake up in the middle of the night. I'm sweating right now,
dude. Every single day, I see Ian sitting on the couch just cleaning his AR, and he's like, "We're getting ready. You're all laughing at me now."
He knits wool Chinese flags. Mm-hmm. And then he brings him out and he puts him on the archery board. And he...
Oh my God.
No, I'm kidding. But no, let's talk about conspiracies. It's not really a conspiracy. Conspiracy, it's a weird word, conspiracy, but right?
Can I ask you something?
Yeah. With
what do you, so what do you think would have to happen to justify a war with China from your perspective? Or what do you think would put you over the edge where you would say, like, we have no choice?
I don't know, man. I mean, usually it's like China beaching on California, in California.
US soil. Like, yeah, that's kind of what I'm Chinese thinking. Like, if they start to invade and there's nothing else we can do, but yeah.
But it's more than that. Like, if we sit back, and this is a really tough philosophical question, and just let them do whatever
exactly.
they want.
Exactly. Exactly.
Make them
I
get
totally
stronger
get that,
and stronger.
Dude.
So it's like you sit back and you're like, China's building a new GPS system to rival the US's because we have the main GPS system used by everybody. They're going to become militaristically independent. They're taking in more imports than exports. They're doing beaching drills for Taiwan. They're trying to seize the South China Sea. They're sinking Vietnamese fishing boats. They're building military bases in violation of international conventions. And they just keep doing it. What happens if we do nothing? No, they'll keep doing it. And then eventually, once all our allies are crushed and our resources are limited, then they land their boats on our beaches and we say, well, the one thing we got going for us, we got a gun behind every blade of grass.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we are a nation armed to the teeth, so they will never. I don't think it's possible to conquer America.
No.
I just don't think it's physically. Like, you could literally.
You could conquer California.
Yeah.
Like, everywhere else, it'd be really hard.
No, I don't. I mean.
I'm being facetious. It would be difficult to take any scrap of land on this country, on this
continent.
Yeah.
Like, you would have Confederate flag waving. You know, Republicans from the you know, I don't want to say deep south, but I don't know, because it's not really
running over to California. The Californians would be like, "No, you need to leave."
No,
like we'd rather have the Chinese here.
No,
than you.
No, no. There would be soy boys cowering with their you know purple mohawk, going like, "They're shooting at me," and it's like, "Don't worry, you're American. I may not like you at all, but we're being invaded." So, no, like you'll get the staunchest conservatives waving you know Confederate flags,
sure,
the Trump flags,
sure,
running into battle and defending the California soy
multiple
boys,
weapons.
Being. Like, but so there's the really, really serious problem about war with China. It's really easy to be like, I'm anti-war.
Exactly.
It is. Now, that's easy to say when we're talking about Syria and the Middle East. Oh, I get it. You want to build an oil pipeline. What did Biden do? Biden just approved Russia to build the pipeline anyway. So that is, let's talk conspiracies, okay? Mm.
Oh, no.
I've been trying. You guys won't let me.
You
do
want
it.
To take it?
I always, every single day, Tim just sends me these articles, and I have to send him Snopes fact checks.
Every
I go,
time,
Tim, I tell say Tim, it's not true.
I have brought Seamus like 15 gay frogs, and he keeps telling me to shut up.
Tim,
I looked up in the window.
That frog is expressing itself a certain way that doesn't anything to do with the chemicals in the water or anything to do with that frog's orientation.
Here's what I mean. I don't mean like conspiracies. I say that because. It's funny how they've turned that word into something that means like false story.
Weaponized.
So what? Like when people talk about flat Earth, like it's a conspiracy theory. No. That's if you believe in stupid things, that's just you believing in stupid things. But let me say this: last year, the economy's locked down. What happened? A bunch of people in our major urban hubs moved, and they moved to random places. We can't like they didn't all the half a million people who left New York. They didn't just move from like New York to like Pittsburgh. No, they spread all over the place. Now, these are the people of means. These are heads of industry. These are wealthy individuals who command economics, who command the economy in this country. They decentralized. What else happened? We realized we couldn't manufacture things. We had no capability. We tried shoring up our manufacturing. Now we have a bipartisan bill. Democrats, Republicans agree. We need $250 billion towards industry in the United States. I think about these things, the decentralization of our economy, the moving out of cities. I mean, that's really fortunate for us should we enter war with China.
Buying guns?
If buying guns like
lots
crazy.
Lots of firearms.
The riots made people buy guns like crazy.
Yeah.
If a nuke dropped on New York last year, the beginning of last year, it would wipe out tons of heads of industry. It would destroy our economy. The pandemic resulted in a decentralization. So I don't really mean conspiracy. I'm just saying how fortuitous for us. In the event a war breaks out, these things happened. We got more people are armed to the teeth in cities, in California. More people have left big cities and moved out to suburbs and moved out to rural areas, and they're working remote. All these things are really good news for a country about to go to war.
you know, the downside of working remote is you're at the whim of the electric grid, which could be a problem if that gets knocked out. But other than that, I think you're right.
Man, big push to get off fossil fuels, you know, and to get solar energy and renewables.
And so this is something I've been telling myself. Maybe it's just to cope because I'm very sad. But ammo has been ridiculously expensive for the past year and a half. And anyone who has any interest in firearms knows that. And when I see the prices, I get very sad. When I see the empty shelves, I'm sad. But what that means is that more Americans than ever before have ammunition. I mean, the reason the demand skyrocketed is because everyone went out and bought ammo. And that means the American public is now significantly better armed than they were prior to COVID. And dude, I think that's fantastic.
I was buying, I think I was buying 380, and it was like a dollar a round or something. Jeez. Insane. I'm just, that's insane.
Yeah.
Man. I wonder what it's at now.
I mean, ammo, wasn't it? I've been talking about like a good investment, and everyone's like, you got to buy this, you got to buy that. I'm like, you know, I thought about it. And I've been saying for a while, think about the most common household item that's the hardest to produce. And that's probably a good investment, because assuming there's like a major crisis or a war or something, otherwise, if the economy is going to keep on keeping on the way it is without ups and downs and, you know, quantitative easing, yeah, well, then you've got your standard gold, Bitcoin, whatever. But I'm talking about in the event of a war or some kind of conflict or crisis, what's a good investment? And so I think, you know, like mouthwash, really, really good. You can use it antiseptic. You know, you can use it to clean your mouth. Really great, because you don't want to get, you know, infected teeth or anything that can kill you, actually.
Yeah.
But more importantly, like if you get a cut, it's antiseptic and use it. So alcohol works, but alcohol you don't want to put in your mouth, right? So hydrogen peroxide, what's hard to produce, but
iodine.
Really important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, iodine.
Chlorine, that's been
so these simple household chemicals that we use all the time for cleaning, for helping ourselves, those are probably good investments. But I thought about this, like, if you're going to park your money.
Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code POOL at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code POOL at checkout. FastGrowingTrees.com, code POOL. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply.
In anything, in fear of some kind of conflict, what would be a good place to do it? Water?
Yeah.
People need water.
Gasoline?
Gasoline doesn't stay.
Yeah.
After a while, gasoline.
There's powder. I don't know how this would work for a large supply, but I know that there are powders that you can put in gasoline to make it last longer.
Make it stay longer. Oh, yeah. But there's other fuels you can. But I thought about it, and I was like, you know what? Gold. Why? Why gold? Why? Oh, you want to go? No. Gold is good if there's still confidence in our existing social structure.
Yeah, if there's actually going to be an economy to speak of.
Right. Bitcoin and gold are valuable because of a functioning economy as it stands today. Mm-hmm. Let's say we enter, a Walking Dead apocalypse scenario. I do not believe that's going to happen. I know. Because for the most part, it hasn't. I mean, countries have fallen, but they still have economies. But
I thought you were going in the zombie direction with that. For the most part, it hasn't. Like,
when countries or empires fall, people still keep working and eating and things carry on. So gold makes a lot of sense.
Well, look what happened when the USSR fell.
Right. People still, actually, it was crazy. People just walked into factories, took them over. But that's why I was thinking, like, you know, a gun really is a good investment. Cars depreciate. Mm-hmm. You know, a good working gun is going to go up in value.
If you take good care of it and it's a decent weapon, for sure.
Yeah. A decent weapon. I mean, if things get really bad, any weapon's a good weapon. You know, any weapon's a decent weapon. Mm-hmm. But I was genuinely thinking about not the apocalypse. I'm just like, what's something you could buy for a couple $100? And then in a few years, it'll go up in value. And I'm like, guns not going to go down in value. I mean, and unless they ban all guns, they won't do. Joe Biden now, he wants to do a bunch of NFA things. So they want to make like, so right now, if you do a pistol with a brace, Joe Biden was saying that's a short-barreled rifle.
Yep.
And I mean, I've talked to a lot of gun people who are kind of like, the brace is supposed to go on your arm.
I see.
But people just shoulder it, which is kind of like a stock. So they want to make that NFA, which means NFA means it's National Firearms Act. It means you got to, takes a year to get. It's like, you got to go get your fingerprints. You got to go file paperwork. You got to pay $200 per item. They want to make it more difficult. In that instance, the guns actually go up in value because they're harder to get. Mm-hmm. So it's a good investment, but we got some big gun news. So we were just talking about, for those that are just tuning in, we were just talking about all of the things that have happened that have been very fortuitous for this country if a war with China were to happen. Notably, people are moving out of cities, decentralizing the economy. People are working remote. So even when they're outside of the city, they don't need to be in the same office. That's great. If a bomb drops on New York and everyone's working there in the same building, you could wipe out a whole oil company. Now you've got everybody, not only have they moved out of the city, they're in different parts of the country and they don't even have to come into the office. That's really good for us. The other thing that happened that was really good for us in the event a war were to break out, people started buying guns like crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Record number of guns and ammo being sold. And as that saying goes, I don't know if it's true, it would be impossible to invade the United States because there's a gun behind every blade of grass. Now we have this big news from a couple days ago. California assault weapons ban disrespects freedom, federal judge writes.
I love that.
Yes.
He struck it down.
Good.
He said, here's a quote. Let me read. For more than three decades, this is crazy to me. Hold on. Just listen. For more than three decades, California has banned certain types of semi-automatic rifles, including the AR-15, under an assault weapons ban. On Friday, a federal judge threw out the ban, ruling that it violates the Second Amendment to the United States, to the U.S. Constitution. Quote, the Second Amendment is about America's freedom, the freedom to protect oneself, family, home, and homeland. Judge Roger Benitez wrote for the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of California. California's assault weapon ban disrespects that freedom. Governor Gavin Newsom called the decision a direct threat to public safety. You get the point. Now, this guy, this judge, my understanding is that he was appointed in 2003 by Bush. I don't know if they mentioned that, but he's been here for a while. I'm just... why right now are they saying, Californians, go buy your AR-15s?
How's that work? Can any judge at any time just look at a law and be like, I want to overthrow that? I want to...
it's a lawsuit. So someone sues saying banning the AR-15 violates the Constitution. The judge said, I agree.
Wow.
Now, for now, there's going to be an appeal, so people probably shouldn't run out and try and buy weapons. But I got to say, man, when you think about what's happening in this country, what were we just joking about? China beaching into beaching California and running in. Now Californians can go buy AR-15s. The Second Amendment, a well-regulated militia being necessary for a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms will not be infringed.
Yeah, I think.
Well, it's really good news for a country trying to secure a free state from a foreign invasion should a war break out, that they're all armed to the teeth. And now in California, after 32 years, a judge says, you can go get AR-15s.
I got to say, though, this is, there's this old saying, best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago, second best time is today. I don't exactly envy the people who are just getting into firearm ownership now. I'm glad that I purchased my weapons and my ammo before all of this stuff, but I'm glad they're doing it at this point. However, it's going to be really, really difficult for them to start practicing with their weapons. It's going to be really difficult to get range time in. Ammo's so, so expensive. I don't know how any of those people would really become proficient in time for a war with China.
Yeah, we got like
I'm sure there's some number of them who already owned guns but didn't have an AR. Sure. Yeah.
We got like a laser bullet targeting device that you put in the chamber, and then it allows you to like hit a pad on the wall and it tells you how accurate you are. But it doesn't have like the kick of the ballistic. Mm-hmm. It's just a way to train without losing ammo.
So my first thought is, what are they going to try to do to get this decision overturned? What are you thinking?
Well, they're going to file an appeal.
Right.
And that's it. I mean, it's going to go through the courts. It might go to the Supreme Court. I think it would be great if it does. The assault weapons ban makes zero sense. You will not find a human being who knows about guns who will advocate for those laws.
It's true.
Because even when I take like the devil's advocate position, where I'll be talking to a Democrat or a lefty and they're like, we got to have this assault weapons ban. My first point is the one I bring up all the time, the one that affects me personally. Yes. Okay. Hold on. This law is getting overturned, and they're like, this is terrible news. And I'm like, actually, it's good news. In Maryland, for instance, the M1A, which fires, I believe it's 762 by 51, it's illegal. It's an assalt weapon. The SCAR 20S, which fires 308, totally legal. They're almost identical rounds. There's a higher pressure in the 308. The law makes no sense. The AR-15 that shoots a 308, legal, but the M1A is not. It's like, that just makes no sense.
Well, it's also these laws insane. You have the Mini 14 being classified, or I'm sorry, the AR-15 is classified as an assault rifle, and then the Mini 14, or an assault weapon, I apologize, and then the Mini 14 is not. And so they fire the exact same round. Both can have 30-round magazines attached
they
to them.
They can fire the same round.
Mm-hmm. They do. They're usually chambered in 5.56.
Right. So what's insane about a lot of these arguments is that they're like, we're going to ban assault weapons. What does that mean? Is it scary? Mm-hmm.
Or that actually, I think I need to double check. The Mini 14 might usually be chambered in 2.23, but not that big a difference.
Well,
also fires 2.23.
Right. You get something in 5.56, it'll do both. So whenever I bring up this argument, and I'm seeing it pop up more and more. Maybe it's just because I'm paying attention, but a lot of people are pointing out the reason why we use 5.56. They're small. They're really small.
Yeah.
The reason we use those is so that you can carry them.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Is so that in war people can carry lots of them.
It's not a giant round by any means.
Could you imagine if people were like going to war with like sabot slugs, like massive, huge 12 gauge? They're like, we're going to use the biggest and most definite. No, you can't carry that much. And so when they talk about hunting, it's like, you should go look at what they use for hunting. They got big, big weapons. Yeah, we can't show any of those.
I know.
So
I'm not going to.
But we actually have some on the table.
The AR-15 is also an incredibly popular hunting weapon, too. I don't want to forget that, because often they will say things like, you can't hunt with an AR-15, or you don't need an AR-15
what
for
would
hunting,
you use?
Which is ridiculous. Yeah.
I don't understand. I guess I've got, you know, I've got a bunch of bolt-action rifles I'm not very well trained or anything, but it's described to me that less moving parts, more accurate, easier, versus AR-15. It's got a lot of moving parts, so that affects accuracy, but less recoil. So I'm not entirely sure I understand what the argument is from these people, other than, is a gun scary?
Exactly. The AR looks scary. And also, I mean, the AR has been used in many school shootings and many public massacres, but people don't realize it's not as if the maniacs who go do these kinds of things are using the AR because it's a particularly effective weapon for doing that kind of thing. In fact, there was one article I read which was basically hypothesizing that it's the copycat effect, because the AR is not the largest. I mean, the 5.56 is not the largest round you could get. You could probably, I mean, someone could use an AK, and that has a more powerful round in it generally. They always go with ARs. Why? Well, because the media always reports that the last guy used an AR. It's the copycat effect.
I think so. The AK uses 7.62x39.
Yeah.
I think those are smaller than 5.56. I'm pretty sure, like, shorter.
No, they're bigger. I mean, I'm pretty sure.
The round is bigger, but I think they're shorter.
I think I figured out why they're making ARs assault rifles. Because the letters AR make people think it stands for assault rifle.
People actually
when
think
it means
that.
Armalite rifle, which is the company that built the thing.
Right. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, so that one's really obvious to a lot of people. Like, dude, it's not an assault rifle. And there's an assault rifle, an actual one, on sale over at Gunbroker. It's like $55,000.
Well, how big is it?
It's an M16 selective fire rifle. So it's an actual, I think it's a pre-1986 when they like shut down the production of these things. And it's really expensive. It's really, really expensive. If you want to buy some of these NFA items, it takes a really long time. It's really hard to do. And that's why it's funny when the Democrats are like, do not come and take your guns. I'm like, bro, a large portion of guns are already banned.
Yeah.
Already.
We're just going to ban a couple more and then we'll stop.
Well, so anyway, I want to go back to my point. I was talking about this thing happening in California, which is very good news. We'll see what happens if it makes it to the Supreme. If it escalates, the federal court gets appealed, goes to the Supreme Court, we'll see what happens. But it's not all good news. So I can mention, hey, how fortuitous for us that, you know, in the event war with China breaks out, more people might have AR-15s. Mm-hmm. We do have some contradictory news. We have this from BearingArms.com. DOJ issues proposed rule on pistol braces, model red flag legislation. They say, 2 months ago, Joe Biden announced his first executive actions on gun control, promising that the DOJ and the ATF would issue proposed rules aimed at cracking down on the proliferation of home-built firearms and AR-style pistols that use stabilizing braces, which Biden and other anti-gun advocates want to declare as items subject to the National Firearms Act. The DOJ's proposed rule on so-called ghost guns was unveiled a few weeks ago. And today, the DOJ released the agency's proposed rule dealing with pistol braces, along with the model red flag legislation that the administration is hoping states will adopt in the coming months. You can read the full proposed rules here. We get the point. So I'll break it down. And again, far from being an expert on this stuff, there's things called AR-style pistols. And so you can get them in basically like any round. They have this folding brace on the back. They call it a brace. And what you do is you pull the Velcro and you can pull the bottom. You can put it over your arm because a pistol, you're supposed to fire with one hand. So the brace allows you to be stable while you're firing. However, these braces can be put up against your shoulder. You can brace the firearm. Now, it's really interesting because there's a bunch of people I've been at ranges where they're like, never brace the pistol because then you're like a short-barreled rifle. And I'm like, but you can have a brace and put the brace up against your shoulder and it's okay. And like, people are doing this in magazine stuff. I'm like, I'm genuinely confused by like these rules. Yeah, the rules are really weird and confusing. My thing is, right now, you can go to a store and just walk in and be like, I would like to purchase that 9mm AR style pistol with a brace. And they'll do your background check. I think for a lot of first time buyers, you're going to get bad news. They're going to be like, we'll see you in a week. Come back and we'll let you know if you've been approved for the weapon. Mm. So when I first started trying to buy weapons, it was like 5 days. Every time I wanted to buy a gun, I had to wait because they were doing a background check. And no matter where you go. And it's only recently I've been getting researched, which clears me in like 20 minutes.
Oh, nice.
But it is a background check. The form goes. They look up my name. They look at my social. They do a background check. They say, okay. And then I can purchase this weapon. You go to a gun store and you can just buy it. Okay. It'll take you a little bit of time. If you're first time, if you've got in some states, like if you have a concealed carry, you just walk in and buy it. If they make it an NFA item, it'll take you a year to get these things. And it'll be really interesting what that means for people who already own many of them, because then what? You got to file a bunch of paperwork. What do you got to do? Right. So this is bad news for a lot of people who have legal and, in my opinion, firearms that are safer, absolutely safer. So you don't want to be, and this is my opinion. Okay. I'm sure there's a lot of experts. There's a lot of opinions in the gun world. I was talking to some guy about home defense because I tweeted about shotgun versus AR-15 for home defense. And a lot of people are like, shotgun is a good weapon for home defense. And a lot of other people are like, that's a terrible weapon. Nobody yeah. uses it. These are for breaching doors and nothing else. And AR-15 is better. And I'm of the opinion that an AR-15 is better for a variety of reasons. First and foremost, it's a stupid argument because the AR-15 can be a bunch of different things. Mm-hmm. It can be an AR-15 pistol with 9mm and you can use like frangible or hollow point. I think that's better than a shotgun, because a lot of people don't realize too. So I got a Remington 12 gauge, really long. And I was told, a bunch of people were like, no, you got that really long barrel in a house, you're not going to be able to do anything with that. So then you think about these AR pistols, and it's going to be easier for the average person to fire accurately, which is safer, as opposed to a handgun, which I'm terrible at handguns. I've been improving, mind you, but a rifle?
Yeah, it's tough. You carbine. Have fewer points of contact.
Yeah. It's a lot easier. I got a really good advice last time I went out to range with improving my accuracy with a rifle. Handguns, I got a good advice, but still is difficult. Especially, imagine this. You're in your house, somebody breaks in, and you go for your handgun, and man, you better know what you're doing with that thing. But you have a rifle, you're better off. Now, what's going to be better for home defense? Probably an AR-style pistol with a brace. Because now it's not so long, you're going to be more accurate. You're going to be you could potentially use a less dangerous, less powerful round. Because of these gun control laws, you basically, this is the craziest thing. I was talking to the guys at the gun shop. They said in Maryland, it's got to be a heavy barrel rifle. And I'm like, so you can't have a lighter, easier, lower recoil, quieter. Nope. Maryland banned all these things. So now you quite literally have heavier, harder to use, more dangerous weapons, which means people who aren't specialists in firearms, who just get something for home defense, might miss. That's the result of these gun control laws, not making anything safer for anybody, mm-hmm. making everything worse.
Yeah, no, exactly. And there are some laws that have been proposed that I've heard from different people on the left to restrict people from purchasing more than, like, it depends on the state, but they'll set a limit on the amount of ammunition a person should be able to purchase, and they'll argue that this would be an effective gun control measure. But the problem with that is people just don't get to the range as often, and they don't get a chance to practice with it. And then I believe it was in New Jersey where they banned anything with a magazine capacity greater than 5. Am I mistaken
New Jersey?
There?
Yeah, no, I think New Jersey is 10.
10? Okay.
New York. You it's like you can have a capacity of 10, but it can only have 6 in it or something like that.
That's totally insane. Yeah. I mean, if you're in an emergency situation, if someone has broken into your house, you're going to be shaking people don't understand when they don't know about guns or they've never fired one before that it's difficult to hit a target on your first try, and especially if your adrenaline is pumping because somebody has burst through your front door and they're trying to harm you and your family, you're probably going to miss them. Even if you do hit them, it can't take more than one hit to take a person down.
It's true, but I do have some good news. None of that matters, because in most of these states that ban guns, you go to prison whether or not you hit the person or miss. It's like someone broke in your
That's
house.
Hilarious.
Off the prison with you.
Good news.
Yeah.
Reminds me of this. Well, like,
I just want to say, I have had people who I know ask me, like, well, why would someone need like a handgun with 15 or 16 rounds in it? It's like, dude, because first of all, if more than one person breaks into your house and you only have 6 rounds, like, you're already done. I'm sorry if you don't know how to use a firearm very well, if you're not very well trained. I mean, how often I want to double check this because I don't want to get the statistic wrong, but the majority of the time when a police officer is aiming at a target, they miss, and they train more often than most citizens do. So
they still barely train.
Yeah, that's also true. I have a buddy who was in the military, and he was a police officer, and he said that as a cop, he almost never trained, which was really unfortunate. He was not a police officer for very long. He left. But yeah, I don't know. If police officers are not well-trained enough to hit targets, then you expect civilians to be able to do so with a limited amount of ammunition in their magazine.
One of my favorite things you see on Twitter, you'll see these arguments that make literally no sense.
Yeah.
And you know it's a meme because they all repeat themselves, clearly having never fact-checked it. And there's one going around where they're like, if you can't hit it in 10 rounds, you shouldn't be shooting at it.
Yeah,
it's insane. I'm like, so you're saying I should hit 30 to 50 feral hogs with just 10 bullets?
Mm-hmm.
Also, I get it. 30 to 50 feral hogs is a meme, but you just carry more magazines. It's the stupidest thing. They're like, you should only have 10. So there was a guy who actually, there's a sheriff, he did a video where he was like, you know, using lower capacity magazines, but more of them. And the times were negligible in between. Because when you have a handgun, you just press the release and then you put it in and you start shooting again. And then when it comes to like an AR, you pull the release and you put in the magazine, you start shooting again. People, like, these arguments about capacity size are empty platitudes from Democrats who are just trying to give something to gun control people. But I will say, if they keep gaining ground on this, eventually it'll be like bolt action or nothing.
Hmm. Yeah.
And you're like, okay, well, whatever, man.
People will say things like semi-automatics shouldn't be legal. It's like, what are you talking about?
Like, technically revolvers, they function as semi-automatic.
Mm-hmm.
You pull the trigger, it fires, and then it spins and you're ready to fire again. But, you know, this is the nature of arguing with people who don't know anything.
What are AR-style pistols?
It's like it's basically the same function mechanics of an AR-15.
So is it like Armalite rifle style? Is that, or is it talking about the AR-15 style?
So an AR pistol, or like an AR-style pistol, means the same thing. It's basically an AR-15 but small. And then you're supposed to hold it with one hand and shoot like a pistol. But they put braces on it that you can put on your forearm to make it easier to shoot. But people will, you know, put it up like a stock, and you're not supposed to do that. But I guess that's the issue. Everybody does it, so that's why Biden wants to make it an NFA item, so that it qualifies as a short-barreled rifle.
I think they need to rebrand the AR because it sounds too much like assault rifle.
No, it's irrelevant. Yeah. I mean, the AK functions similarly.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of different weapons you can get that are semi-automatic rifles that function, and it's just the AR is just a it's a good working mechanical device, so... Yeah.
What does AK stand for? You guys know off the top of your head?
That's probably a Russian word.
Something Kalashnikov?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
I'm looking it up.
Yeah.
Well, let's... how about we just do the hardest of hard segues and jump to something totally unrelated?
Yes,
to
yeah, I love conspiracies. Hard segues. That's what I'm about.
No.
I think there is a conspiracy that the NSA and the CIA are all making us more resilient in case there is a war. I think there is that conspiracy. They're decentralizing everything. I don't know. I have no proof.
They're letting Antifa run wild because they want to sick them on another country. They're like, we're going to send you guys. They want us to buy guns. Wreak havoc.
They want us to buy guns like crazy.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I
was being facetious. Millions upon millions. Ammo shortages.
Yeah.
This is another thing, man. You got to just, you know, think.
So this someone is like hacked the ammo pipeline.
While all this stuff's going on, there's massive government contracts for ammo and ammo shortages.
Mm.
Like, it's just a lot of things where it's like, wow, all those things happening are really good for us if a war breaks out. Ammo shortages. I wonder why the government is buying so many bullets.
Mm.
Oh, they're dispatching the Air Force across the Pacific to avoid a Russian rocket attack, and they're buying bombs for Pacific theater. Really interesting that all of these things are happening, but I don't think there's going to be a war, even though we are in the fourth turning and there's Thucydides' trap and constant articles saying, are we going to war with China? And now lab leak hypothesis is becoming prominent and accusations about China are getting really serious. Maybe nothing happens. Maybe this, I don't know. Maybe nothing happens. But, yeah, man, it's
yeah, it could be like a year and a half long false flag. Like the Gulf of Tonkin happened in a day. But this, they're just like, yeah, the Antifa thing, it's they just want to get us ready.
I don't know about that, but I do know about this.
Ooh.
From the Daily Caller, Twitter suspends former Treasury official after he compared Brian Stelter to the Gimp from Pulp Fiction.
Whoa.
This is not newsworthy. But considering, you know, for those that are just tuning in, like, or didn't watch the last segments, we were talking very, very seriously about war and gun rights. And I was like, and now we need to slam into a brick wall of nonsense to kind of calm down and have a good laugh at the expense of others. Yes. Yeah. So the reason I'm starting with this, and we're going to be ragging on Brian Stelter, it's not because somebody compared him to the Gimp from Pulp Fiction. But more so because he is being slammed. Quote, this is how state TV functions. Glenn Greenwald rips CNN's Brian Stelter for fawning over White House's Jen Psaki in one of the most sycophantic interviews a state official you'll ever see. Now, this is funny. We're going to read the Gimp story. But I want to just stress the point that Brian Stelter is the guy who completely who routinely ragged on Fox as the state propaganda. It's the propaganda arm of the state. This is what state TV looks like. And then give him the opportunity, and he just gives, I wouldn't even call it a softball interview, it was a wiffle ball interview. He was lightly tossing wiffle balls to Jen Psaki, who then hit him straight out of the park. Well, here's what happened on the Daily Caller. They say, Internet Accountability Project founder Mike Davis and former Treasury official Will Upton were temporarily suspended from Twitter for comparing CNN anchor Brian Stelter to the character Gimp from the movie Pulp Fiction. Twitter first suspended Upton on Sunday night, after he made a post that mocked the anchor. Stelter had asked Press Secretary Jen Psaki what she believed the media doesn't accurately cover about the Biden administration. Fun fact, Brian Stelter, is the Gimp from Pulp Fiction. Upton's initial tweet read, which was followed up by a GIF of the character from the 1994 film. Oh, so they restored it. Oh, wonderful. My. Upton was suspended shortly after posting the tweet, but had his account unsuspended a few hours later after successfully appealing the suspension, the Federalist reported. Upton tweeted that he simply pointed out that comparing a public figure to a fictional movie character does not violate the terms of service.
He's
saying,
correct.
LOL, this tweet got me temporarily suspended from Twitter. I appealed and won. I simply pointed out that comparing a public figure to a fictional movie character does not violate their terms of service. Shortly after Upton was unsuspended, Davis was then temporarily suspended from Twitter for defending Upton's post, according to the Federalist, citing that he had violated rules against hateful conduct on the site. You really put big tech critic W. Upton in a Twitter jail for comparing Brian Stelter to the Gimp in Pulp Fiction? I'd be very upset if I were the Gimp as well. Bravo, good sir. Now let's talk about not what we're getting. You know, I point this out, you know, Glenn Greenwald tears into CNN. But take a look at what's happening here. You see the story? Nigeria suspends Twitter after Twitter suspends its president. Mm. I'm conflicted on this one. Just take a look at how our media operates. We got major breaking news censored in this country, the Hunter Biden story. Many people were polled. This was a Rasmussen poll. Many, many people. It was the most people. Everyone agrees. Now, a lot of people were polled, and it turns out around 6% of people said that had they known about Hunter Biden, they would not have supported Joe Biden, which would have been more than enough for Trump to take many of the states he would have needed to win. But Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, they collude, they ban people. They do just enough to make sure milquetoast channels like this one survive, but then get rid of anybody who's posting anything too edgy or too controversial, and they suppress it and they shut it down. Nigeria struck back. They blocked Twitter. They say the country announced the move 2 days after the platform temporarily froze the Nigerian president's official account on Wednesday for allegedly violating its abusive behavior policy. Quote, the federal government has suspended indefinitely the operations of the microblogging and social networking service Twitter in Nigeria, a news release from the Nigerian Minister of Information and Culture, Alhaji Lai Mohammed's office stated. So you can see they announced it. In a Friday statement announcing the move, Mohammed cited the persistent use of the platform for activities that are capable of undermining Nigeria's corporate existence. As a reason for the decision, according to the press release, the Nigerian government did not provide more details on how it will carry out the suspension of the tech giant's operations in the country or on the activities Mohammed mentioned in a statement. An aide at the ministry told Reuters, wait and see how things will turn out. Now, I don't know how I feel about this, right? So again, the gist of the story, Twitter is suspended in Nigeria after suspending the president. I don't know how I feel about that, but I kind of think it's an important move. Again, I'm not sure. I'd have to think through it, maybe have some arguments and hear some people what they think. The criticism, I suppose, is a government shutting down social media That sounds bad. What if people are rightly criticizing that leader as authoritarian, or what if he's a despot? What if they're sharing real information, trying to challenge? What if it's like you criticize Kamala Harris and then she uses the government to shut down social media because they don't like what's happening? The difference here, though, is that Nigeria blocked Twitter because Twitter was interfering with its politics. And that's really, really bad. So it's kind of inverted. If there's a politician saying and doing nasty things and we use social media to call them out, that's power to the people. If Twitter bans those people, it's a problem. That's what Twitter is doing. Conservatives call out malfeasance from Democrats and get banned for doing so. We just read, you criticize a CNN anchor and they suspend you? That's insane. But what happens when Twitter is interfering with your politics like they were here? What happens then when the government says we're not going to allow Twitter to operate because it's interfering in the political system? This is different. I don't know. Ian, you actually have experience moderating, so I'm curious what you think.
Well, with Minds, which is where I moderated at, our terms of service were the U.S. Constitution and specifically Connecticut law when the corporation was formed. So if someone didn't violate the U.S. Constitution, U.S. law, they wouldn't get banned off the site.
What's your thoughts on this? I mean, look.
I don't know. What did he get banned for?
I don't know. He tweeted something offensive, so Twitter suspends him.
If he violates terms of service, then the company has a right to ban him, but that legally. But even, I mean, it really speaks at like how much more powerful these corporations are than national governments.
You mean the other way around?
Oh, I think the corporations has more power and influence than the government. If they want to, not necessarily, they don't have a military, but they could definitely hire, you know, Blackwater or some sort of like mercenary guard if they wanted. Twitter could.
They're not called it.
I think Blackwater changed their name now.
Seven times.
Yeah. Bad press.
I don't know. What do you think, Mr. Seamus? Nigeria banned Twitter because Twitter was interfering in their politics.
I mean, Nigeria, there was a great, someone made a meme about this. I don't think it was Nigeria, it was another country, but Twitter was banned there, and someone's response was, well, you know what? Nigeria acts as a private country. Twitter can make their own.
That's right.
So I have to give credit where it's due. I won't try to pass that off as my own joke. But, yeah, I'm not sure. I guess I don't have that strong of an opinion on this one. I think that Nigeria can do what Nigeria wants to do if they want to ban Twitter. I'm not going to say they've like violated some international law, and so we should go after them. As a nation, they don't have an obligation to allow Twitter to offer their service in their country.
What if Donald Trump was like, my tweets have been censored, so we are formally shutting down Twitter?
Yeah.
Would have been interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I'm curious how that would have played out, if he can even have accomplished something like that, given he was going to be out of office soon. I mean, the Biden administration would surely overturn something like that immediately.
It is interesting because it's an American company operating in America. The government doesn't have the power to do so. Hmm. But for Nigeria, it's a foreign corporation operating in their borders. They very well could just be like... Yeah.
So Twitter's learning that some countries aren't going to put up with their nonsense. Oh, poor Twitter.
I think this is the same thing.
I feel so bad for them.
With the Florida law that they were talking about, DeSantis was going to pass, that if they, you know, if Twitter bans some people in Florida, but Florida was like, hey, you can't do that, the Twitter would just get banned out of Florida as well, like they just did out of Nigeria.
Interesting.
Or block their own activity out of Florida.
All I know is for a nation to say that they don't want a foreign corporation to limit their leaders' abilities to communicate with their citizens is not a bad thing. That just seems completely reasonable and straightforward.
The thing is, at what point is it considered a foreign corporation anymore? Like, all corporations are foreign. I don't care where their headquarters is.
Right. I mean, they're hiding money overseas. They're putting their headquarters in, like, Ireland and other countries to get away from taxes.
Maybe some of it's in Nigeria, you know? Maybe they made a deal with one of those princes. That was sending them emails.
They're going to start putting corporations in space stations. Mm-hmm. Then, we're not subject to anybody's laws. You can't do anything about it.
Dude, there was this hilarious, I was reading about this, there was this plan from some libertarian, I would imagine, to build this gigantic boat that would just be in international waters at all time, making this huge route around the world. And it was for the ultra wealthy, for them to run their businesses so that they wouldn't have to pay an income tax anywhere. And what you said just reminded me of that. Like, imagine at some point they're going to have these space stations. Maybe that's what Elon's trying to do. He just wants to go to Mars so he can be like, look, I'm not in America. I'm not paying income tax.
There's just like one guy in a 10 by 10 space station. And it's just like, it's their address is one space way.
Did you see?
And he lives there getting paid a lot of money he can't spend.
Bezos is retiring as CEO, and he's going to be on the first mission of Blue Origin. Yeah. And he's going to be on the first manned space mission on his new rocket with his brother. They're going to be on.
What do you mean on the first
manned space? They're going into space. I think it's Blue Origin is the name of his company.
Oh, the first manned space.
So they're planning in June, I think it is, the first manned mission into space. And he's going to be on the rocket with his brother.
Wow.
Bezos. I'm just waiting for something interesting to happen, you know? It's like every day I wake up and I look at the news and I'm like, it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, it's just boring.
Inflation.
So all it is reruns.
Yeah.
No, you got to go inside if you want to find the next step of engagement in this reality.
I agree we should go inside, meditation. But not with drugs.
Yeah,
breathing. Apparently, breathing can get you there.
Yeah,
you know, certain type of psychedelic trances and like obviously diet, but breathing. If you do different breathing exercise,
Wim Hof.
That's where the excitement lies in reality, my friends.
You know, we've been in this period for a couple decades where it's been extremely routine. You know, our conflicts have been it's been so nice, it's been so good that the crisis we've faced has been rich people ripping off poor people.
Yeah, it's by design, man. They placated us. They made marijuana illegal. They made LSD illegal. They made psilocybin illegal. They made MDMA illegal. And they're trying to like suppress people. They feed them all the sugar and they keep them like they have been doing that. The rich people have been taking advantage of the masses.
No, hold on. I think if they really wanted to lull people into a sleep, they'd allow them to do the drugs.
Yeah. No, it's the other way around. It's too dangerous for the status quo.
Then why
people
do you
start
think,
to think for themselves.
Then why do you think they're legalizing them all then?
It's just you can't fight the tide. At some point, the people and the democratization of power overcomes tyranny. At least that's what it seems like happens. That's what humans
You guys ever
happen.
See that Vox article advocating for putting lithium in the water?
Hmm.
What?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I didn't.
Let me see if I can find it.
I just you know what? Mine lithium from water using graphene filtration. Did you know that? You can mine lithium out of water.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That's big.
Yeah, so this is from October 24th, 2018. How our drinking water could help prevent suicide.
Yes.
Oh, how could it? How could that help?
Oh, my God.
Lithium is a potent psychiatric drug, one of the primary prescribed medications for bipolar disorder, but it's also an element that occurs naturally all over Earth's crust, including in bodies of water. Uh-huh. That means that small quantities of lithium wind up in the tap water you consume every day. Just how much is in the water varies quite a bit from place to place. Naturally, that made researchers curious. Are places with more lithium in the water healthier mentally? Do places with more lithium have less depression or bipolar, or most importantly of all, fewer suicides? Hmm. A 2014 review of studies concluded the answer was yes. Four or five studies reviewed found that places with higher levels of trace lithium had lower suicide rates. And Nasser Gaming, the Tufts psychiatric professor who co-authored that review, argues that the effects are large. High lithium areas, he says, have suicide rates 50 to 60% lower than those of low lithium areas. Quote, in general, in the United States, lithium levels are much higher in the Northeast and East Coast and very low in the Mountain West. He told me in a new episode of the Vox podcast, Future Perfect, and suicide rates track that exactly. Much lower suicide rates in the Northeast, and the highest rates of suicide are in the Mountain West. If you apply that 50-60% reduction to the U.S., where about 45,000 people died by suicide in 2016, you get a total number of lives saved around 22,500 to 27,000 a year. That's likely too high, since you can't reduce suicide rates in places that are already high lithium. Gamey's own back-of-the-envelope calculation said we save 15,000 to 25,000. Well, Seamus, Ian, if it saves one life,
then we have to do it. That's how it works.
Need, all in.
Yeah, let's. So I think what Vox is saying is that if we put a psychoactive drug in our water supply, people will be happier.
Although if you go ahead and look at the Royal Society of Chemistry, they just released a paper that says continuous electrical pumping membrane process for seawater lithium mining will eventually be pulling the lithium out of the water and then utilizing it that way, either for batteries or for feeling better.
You know what I was thinking a lot about this. There's a meme going around where it's a guy who's at a psychiatrist's office and he says, every day I wake up with existential dread and my life is meaningless. And the doctor says, best I can do is give you pills that make you think everything's okay. And I'm like, that's dark, man. Mm-hmm. Why do people have no purpose? Like, why do they feel that dread? Why don't I experience that? You know what I mean? Like, is it because I'm healthy?
It's
because
you're so handsome.
Part of
you
it.
Yeah, sure.
Stuff you like. It has compounding effects. Like, even in a few weeks, even if everything went to hell right now for you, you'd still feel good in 3 weeks from the last 6 months of activity.
Well, let's talk about all of the left's arguments on this one.
Ooh.
First of all, Vox is saying put drugs in the water. That's completely opposed to that. They argue that one of the things about institutional racism and generational poverty, people from poor areas, they drink dirtier water. It affects their mental health. They have less access to good schools, all of that stuff, right? Well, I'm a shining example of all of those things. South Side of Chicago, public school, low-income family, homelessness. I did all right. I have passion. I have drive. I don't wake up feeling dread. I wake up feeling great. I wake up, I'm like, gee, I wonder what's in the news. A little boring sometimes, like I mentioned before. Like, you read the news and you're like, oh, that again. But I'm always interested in seeing, like, news stories, UFOs, whatever, talking about this stuff.
It's either that there's people that are activated, like there's a 0.00001% of the population that's so, like, able, that's just, like, the evolution of a human, that you're able to, like, break through all the crap, or that there's a way to activate the human body and become that. And for whatever reason, you seem to have mastered.
I'm chilling.
This, you know, reality.
We're all kind of chilling.
It was just funny, your description juxtaposed to Ian's. You're like, I'm chilling. But no, I mean, I guess it's a complicated question. You have a lot to do. You seem to be doing something that you really believe is improving the world, and that takes up a good amount of your time. You're building something. I think that's a huge part of life, and it's a huge part of feeling happy with yourself.
Even
self-purpose.
Even before I did any of this, I was not waking up experiencing existential dread.
Yeah, that's a really good question. So let me ask you, did you have a goal that you were working towards at that time?
Before all this? Mm-hmm. Not really.
Really? So what were you doing every day?
I mean, before, like, literally right before Occupy Wall Street started, I was just skating and filming little skate videos.
And how long had you been doing that for?
Oh, I just started a few months before. Before that, I was in California. Just, you know, I was working at a homeless shelter and some nonprofits. And then my apartment burned down and made everything kind of crazy.
Oh, snap. Man. You were down by 6th Street?
Where?
In downtown L.A.? Is that where you were homeless shelter working at? Which one were you at?
Oh, I can't talk about it.
Oh.
Yeah.
The plot thickens.
Well, I guess my point is, so, I don't know your whole life story here, despite being a fellow Illinois boy.
I'm not trying to talk about me. I'm trying to talk about other people and what's missing from their lives.
Oh, sure.
That results in them needing lithium in their drinking water to feel better.
I think we've peaked as a society. I think this is it. There's nothing to aspire to. People don't want to have kids. They don't want to have families. This means that they don't really have a good view of the future. And you see this in all of our policies. We're never thinking about what's coming down the road. You watch Joe Biden putting all of these policies into effect. He only cares about the next 4 years, 8 years, maybe. He's not even going to be around. And I think he knows that. And I think that there's just no look toward the future at all. We look at people like Angela Merkel not having kids. Macron doesn't have any kids. Nobody cares about what's going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah, I can't remember if it was on the after show or not, but we had a conversation about how a lot of these people don't have kids last time. Gotten a little bit with Keane saying we'll all be dead, so who cares? And he didn't have any kids and that kind
of
thing. When you're asking the question about why do we need lithium in the water, which again is something I'm also completely against, I think that's a very strange opinion to have, and also a very strange opinion to have and admit to having, as this person felt called to do in this article they wrote. But some of it just breaks down, and I hate to overly pathologize, but some of it's just chemical. I mean, there are some people who could experience all the things you've experienced or the things I've experienced or any of us have and react completely differently to them just based on their genetics. But I think a lot of it is the way you choose to react to things.
I think kids... I think not having kids has been a big problem for millennials.
Yeah.
You know, there was a super chat where they were saying that in response, we did a story about that valedictorian or whatever, where she was like,
horrible.
You know, pro-choice or whatever. And then someone commented that your dreams don't disappear when you have kids. In fact, the moment they had the kid, it was like all of a sudden all they could think about was the future and what and the work
past
and the passion.
Mistakes disappeared.
Yeah, it's almost like people have no purpose. Then they have kids and realize they have a purpose. They need the world to be a better place for their children. And all of a sudden now they're interested in doing, you know, in doing things that matter. And a lot of young people don't have that. So they're extremely nihilistic and self-interested. I think this might be a big difference between the left and the right. I wonder if you could actually track this, maybe we should commission a poll. If you align culturally right or, you know, in the culture war, do you have children? On the left, do you have children? I'd be willing to bet, and I could be wrong, that the left has a predisposition towards less kids and the right has a predisposition towards more kids. That's why leftist policy tends to be more gimme, gimme, gimme. Mm-hmm. Right-wing policy tends to be more personal responsibility. You've got to, you know, do hard work to succeed, because they want people to plant the tree whose shade they know they will never sit in. The leftists are kind of like, I don't want to pay my loans back. That's like that's one of the biggest issues for many on the left. Mm-hmm. I took out $50,000. I spent it. You should pay for it. That's not helping anybody in the future. It's making things considerably worse.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. Now, to play devil's advocate on that one, I think you can make an argument that part of the reason they don't have kids is because they have these massive loans so they can't settle down and buy a home and get married and do all the things you would do before having a family.
Right, but why do you go to college in the first place? I don't think the kind of person who's planning to have a bunch of kids is going to be somebody who says, okay, let me just take on, you know, $80,000, $100,000 worth of student loan. This won't affect my kids' future lives at all.
Well, I think a lot of people don't think about that when they're 18.
Oh, yeah, it's possible, too.
Yeah.
But that's also a kind of a weird problem because historically, if someone wasn't ready to have or take care of children by the time they were 18, people sort of assumed there was something wrong with them. I mean, if let's look, 100 years ago, if an 18-year-old man was not capable of supporting a family, people would assume that there was a problem with him.
Yeah, yeah.
And so people were thinking about these things at that age historically. And yet, that, you know, why shouldn't they have been? By the time you're 18, you are mature enough to have a family, despite what our modern society tells us, despite the fact that we want to continually extend adolescence. An 18-year-old is an adult.
Maybe Liz is right. We peaked. That's it.
No, I'm gonna. So.
What do you mean by peaked? Definitely not morally.
So, well, yes, but no, Ian and I were talking about this the other night. We were like, "This is the nicest the world has ever been."
Materially, for sure.
Yes,
yes,
we have
absolutely
everything that we want. You can literally order you can order Uber Eats at 2 a.m. and get literally whatever you want from wherever's open. It's amazing.
It's insane. No, it's insane. And it's changed even from when I was a kid. I'm 26 years old, but the kind of comfort and entertainment I have access to now is completely different from when I was a kid.
Unparalleled.
I remember a time in my life where there would be a movie or a TV show that I wanted to watch and I just like wouldn't be able to. And nowadays, anyone can watch whatever they want, whenever they want. They can order whatever kind of food they want unless they're just in the middle of nowhere and don't have access to the things people generally have in society. I mean, we are so comfortable and it's not doing us any favors.
We didn't have debit cards when I was a kid. We had only checks. You had to take a check to the bank and they'd give you money, or you'd have to write a check and check would clear, take like a week to clear or whatever. That helps because I'll buy and sell, and my finances are probably magnitudes better than they would have been 30 years ago because I have my access to digital currency.
Yeah. Do you remember those commercials when debit cards became a thing?
No.
And it was like the Visa check card comes out, and it was like people were like dancing in line at the cafe and just like swiping their card. And then like a guy walks up and he's like fumbling with his wallet, and they're like, no. And I didn't realize, like when I was a kid, it didn't mean anything to me. So I was like, I don't know this. By the time I was an adult, I had a debit card. You use it for everything.
Yeah, I got it when I was 14.
Yeah.
I think, my thesis here, what I was going to say is that everything is convenient, and I don't think that the U.S. can recover and go forward until we give up some of our desire for convenience.
100%.
I think that's key. I think it's pivotal. I was about to combine those two words, and it's going to be weird. I'm glad I didn't. And I think that we're not ready to give that up. We want life to be easy. We don't see how it's crippling us. We don't see that it's making us need things like lithium to even want to get out of bed in the morning. That's so sad.
Yeah, well, I think there's also a lot of truth in that. People constantly seek comfort instead of doing the right thing or the things that will improve their life because they've been accustomed to having anything they want at any time they want. So at some point, you do become depressed when that's the lifestyle that you've been living. There's a point. So this is a point to borrow from someone else. Once again, actually, my dad, he made this point a while ago when speaking to a group of people. He asked them, like, do you think you had a better life than your parents did? And basically everyone raised their hands. And then he said, do you think you're a better person than your parents were? And basically no one raised their hands.
Yeah.
Wow. And so he said, well, maybe it's not such a bad thing that hard times are coming. Maybe your kids are going to be better people than you.
That's what I'm saying.
I think that's right.
How about we go to Super Chat? Yeah. If you have not already, smash that like button and go to timcast.com, become a member. I'm not entirely sure, but we may have a very, very dark and very serious bonus segment that you're not going to want. Oh, yeah.
I'm scared.
Serious.
I don't even want to be a part of it. I'm
dangerous. YouTube, Instaban content.
Oh,
like,
snap.
If I even mention right now what I talk about, YouTube would probably just ban us instantly.
Before it even happened.
Fence it is.
I've tweeted about it, but I'm not going to say more than that because it's like an Instaban. It's Instaban territory.
Oh, I know what it is.
It's super creepy stuff.
Let me check out Tim.
So we'll just leave it there. And but smash that like button, subscribe to this channel, share the show with your friends, and go to timcast.com, become a member. The new website's going to be coming up very soon, hopefully about a week or two. I'm really excited. We've got the designs and we've got, you know, the mock-ups and stuff. It looks amazing. And the newsroom's coming along with it. We've got new people potentially, you know, we're going to be hiring soon. We're looking for some field reporters. We're probably going to have some staff individuals who literally will just fly around the country covering the stuff on the ground. And there's a very serious issue with the undercover and investigative reporting we're going to do with security and safety. But your membership is going to be funding all that. So sincere thank you to everybody. Let's read some of these super chats. All right. Let's see. Okay. Dinocide 13 says, based Guatemalans. If we say that here in the U.S. in protest, we get called insurrectionists while commies burn cities down. That's correct.
Yep.
Max a Trillion says, Tim, you should fund your own American version of Shonen Jump. You could call it Beanie Boy Comics or BBC for short. Hey, yeah, yeah! The BBC.
That's whoa. Fantastic. That is fantastic.
They'll allow that.
Yeah, sure.
Let's see. Him Rumduf says, you need to get Tom McDonald on one of these days. It would be big. No more snowflakes.
Yes.
Tom is like one of the biggest, most famous dudes ever.
Swamped.
And we are like a medium-sized podcast, so it is very difficult to pull in the big names, but Tom's a cool dude. He's always welcome. He's got an open invite. All right. Caboose, a.k.a. Kyle, says, Illinois boys representing from Zion, Illinois, almost Wisconsin. Hey, hey, what up?
Oh, yeah, baby. You're still an Illinois boy. I don't care how close you are to Wisconsin.
That's right.
You're one of the Illinois boys.
Jay Schwiffer says, the $2.3 million in Bitcoin paid to the Colonial Pipeline hackers was seized by the U.S., according to CNBC and Reuters.
Yeah.
Interesting little update. Keep up the good work. I wonder how they seized a Bitcoin address.
Intriguing.
Uh-huh. Did you hear that, Ian?
Yeah, I heard of it.
How did they seize a Bitcoin address?
I don't know. What, they took like 88% of the money that got paid to this colonial?
Yeah. Mm.
I don't know. How are they getting access to the... I mean, obviously, if you see an address online, if you don't have the keys, how do you get it?
Maybe the hackers aren't securing their computers very well and got hacked.
Wow.
I don't know. Maybe...
Surprised they didn't just put it right to cold storage.
It's unlikely. Right. I mean, I guess it's possible for someone to be able to hack a pipeline like that and not have their own computers protected from hackers.
This hacking's really easy.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
They hire someone to make some garbage malware that's like does enough, put on a USB drive and throw it in front of a building, and then you're done.
Really?
Yeah. You don't even got to know how to do any code. It's not hard. Or send an email. You can embed stuff in PDF files. It's
I don't
crazy.
Know it's that easy. That's insane.
Yep. All right. C. Hennessy says, Tim, look up Strongtown. It's a project analysis on why cities and towns are failing. Their biggest findings are how suburbia development doesn't pay a profitable or break-even return on investment.
Wow,
I've always
really?
Thought about how there's no industry in suburbs. There's like very little. Mm. They move it all out of the away, like Jersey
it's
is
true,
the
yeah.
New York's industry.
Rob from downtown says, have you seen the Crowder H3 beef? H3 talked about you, too.
Interesting.
What did they say about
it? I actually listened to that today. H3 had a very underwhelming take on following what the CDC says. They basically just said, oh, you know, it's a bunch of doctors, it's a bunch of scientists. They know what they're talking about. Don't worry about anything. You just need to listen to what they say. Crowder took issue with this. He's like, we do all our research. We have like 150 sources. We do leftist sources. We make sure that what we're talking about is well researched. And H3H3 really lives for the YouTube drama, and they slapped back at him. And I didn't hear that you came up, so I'm really interested to see what happened.
I don't know there, about that. I've never even talked. I don't even know much about H3 at all.
Yeah, I don't, awesome. I don't listen to them for a reason.
You like H3?
Ethan, he's cool.
I watched some of their stuff a while ago, back when they were doing skits.
It used to be okay.
What's his
before
wife?
They did the podcast.
What's her name?
Yeah.
His wife.
Yeah, now
name.
It's just like a regular dudes talking about stuff, I guess. Is that what it is?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've seen a little bit of the podcast, but I mostly used to watch him when he was doing commentary.
So, I mean, there's a big skits. Difference between like a comedic personality who's not involved in politics, who forays into it, versus like a show that's like dedicated to cultural politics and political
yes.
news. So like, you know, maybe the real issue is if H3 exists for, you know, cultural, like mainstream pop stuff, then drama is really, really good for them. I don't drag on a lot of the stuff too much. Like if something comes up and I comment on it, I'll, you know, try and move on as quickly as possible. Depending on the issues, if they're cultural or political, like I tweeted an invite to Andy Ngo to come on the show, simply because this actually has serious ramifications for cultural and political issues. But when it comes to like talking about movies or whatever, I'll make my tweet about a movie and then like I'm not going to keep talking. I don't want to, you know.
Yeah.
But I think for like H3, that's what they are. They're a pop culture like mainstream show, very big, very successful, mm-hmm. and so you know that's what they do. It's more like MTV-ish than say Crowder, which is, you know, Crowder is more Daily Show-ish
for sure.
I don't know why they would bring me up.
Yeah, so I'm not sure either. But what I kind of came away with was that Crowder was basically like, please don't tell your audience not to do your own research. Like, please don't tell people to just blindly listen to one source or the other. He's like, that's not a good policy for the people who believe in you. And then Crowder was like, I'm done. You know, I'm not going to debate you on this. This is, we're done with this. We're not doing
YouTube drama. On an interview?
Stupid. Huh?
Was he interviewing Steven or something?
No, he was just kind of
it was just like a back and
Crowder.
Forth
oh.
beef between the podcasts.
Yeah.
And speaking of the comments I previously made, well, we have a super chat here. Matthew Reckamp says, Tim, I saw your video criticizing Andy No after he got attacked, and I've got to say, I think the fact you had to go to third world countries to find a comparison perfectly shows the point that you seemed to miss. I don't think I missed it. I will say, however, I think perhaps I shouldn't have been so crude. I think that's the mistake I made. Oh. I stand by all of my opinions, but when I heard Megyn Kelly read my tweet, I was like, yeah, that was tactless. That was like, it was after the show, I was tired, and I was like, I found out that, you know, Andy went on the ground, and I was like, we're having a conversation about it with a lot of people. And then I was just like, how dumb. And then I tweeted, and I'm like, probably should have been a bit more tactful than that. But I stand by my opinions 100%. The right seems to be so invested in, you know, support of personality that they're cheering for, I'm speaking figuratively here. People got mad when I said this, but a lot of people agreed. A lot of people agreed. Everybody thinks
many
I'm the best.
People agree.
I said, beautiful. The right is cheering for sending one of their generals down to confront frontline infantry and lose. Mm. Andy No is substantially more important than to be there in the middle of a crowd of random nobodies who will beat him to death.
Yes.
That's the problem I took with this. Why take that risk? And then, you know, it just became tribal. You know, so anyway, I digress. I don't want to, you know, rehash it too much, but Andy's invited on the show. I know he wanted to come on before, but when he went to London, we don't do remote shows. So I just tweeted him like, bro, come on the show. We'll pay for it all. And we'll have a good professional conversation, because the big difference between cancel culture on the left and whatever's on the right, though there are similarities I've certainly complained about, I think I'm more than willing to invite anybody I disagree with to come on the show. I'm willing to invite anybody I disagree with onto the show and have a conversation. And I think most importantly, like, the thing we disagree on is like 0.01% of the entire conversation. So I think it's silly for everyone to like, whatever.
Were you talking about you and Andy?
Well, like, I criticized him like 4 or 5 times.
But
it's a tactic that I criticize.
But to me, it's such a mark of respect that you were like, you're a general in this war. Like, you don't send your best general down to the front lines. Like, you care about what happens to him. He's important and meaningful. Like, his work has been good, but like most other frontline reporters, they retire at a certain point when they're recognizable.
Andy said on Megyn Kelly's show, she asked him, she read my tweet. And that's why I was like, okay, that tweet was a little crass. I should not have tweeted it that way. Okay, that's fair. I own that one. That was a mistake. I should have criticized it and done it in a better way. That being said, she asked him at what point is like enough enough? You know, you're very famous. And Andy said that, you know, basically Tim is sitting there in luxury, or I forgot which word he said, but without Andy on the ground, we wouldn't know about a lot of these things. And I'm like, that's actually my point. If Andy sacrifices himself by going into the fray and no one else is covering Antifa's extensively and knows who these people are, we lose all of that coverage. You don't need to send a general into Antifa to get the news.
Not this general this time. There are time and a place where a general like Julius Caesar fought on the front line with his men the entire time.
But not by himself.
No, he had a group.
Right.
He had centurions with them. Right.
So that would be like if Andy went to an event and spoke to a large crowd.
Yeah, that would be like that.
But just like, it was a local protest in Portland. It wasn't a major political event.
Caesar didn't go undercover in enemy camps.
Yeah.
I just sent other soldiers to do that.
Yeah, I think it was a bad move. You know, and it's interesting that people are like, I'm seeing a lot of tweets at me where they're saying, oh, look, I remember Tim went to no-go zones. And I'm like, yeah, I didn't go back. Like, I went to Sweden once. They weren't looking for me. They didn't know my name. They weren't trying to kill me. I went to Thailand. After I go to these places, I can't return to them. In fact, like, I can't even go to China at this point, because of the things I've said. So you wouldn't send Ai Weiwei into China to go and report. He is a prominent activist critical of China. I think he is, right? Ai Weiwei.
Yeah.
You wouldn't send, you know, these people into certain areas. You'd have to find a different journalist, because if the goal is to maximize your output and to be successful, you can't send the best of the best into the highest level of danger. If Andy stops doing the work he's doing, then Andy is correct. How would we know what was going on if he puts himself at risk that way?
If Biden was like, I'm going on this next one with the SEAL team.
With the SEAL team, bro.
Yes.
People would be like,
oh, leading from the front.
Gosh.
You got to do that cartoon in that.
No, in some circumstances.
I'm going to steal that
from you. I love
it. Sense you
God,
thinking.
Man.
But anyway, look. I think, you know, I think the point has been beaten to death. You know, so there's no reason
it
to
is
constantly.
A very important conversation. It is. That's why I hope he comes on the show soon to talk about the value of doing it on the ground by yourself and then getting popular and having to, you know, recalibrate your function, the way you approach the situation.
I went to Venezuela, and I got accused of being a spy and was forced to flee the country. Vice wanted me to stay. They wanted me to stay to embrace the controversy because it would have been huge news internationally that an American journalist was, you know, forced to flee. Or like, if I remained, I probably would have been arrested. And then it would have been huge for Vice where the State Department would get involved. And I'm like, I'm leaving. Like, no, but like, you know, I even had conversations with family. They were like, you realize if you get arrested and spend a year in a Venezuelan prison, you will be the biggest personality once you got out. That's why they're telling you to do it. And I'm like, that's not what my goal is. My goal is not to be a symbol or a martyr or to make money for anybody. Hmm. I wanted to come here and interview people and see what's going on. I'm going to leave. So the point of that super chat was that I had to go to third world countries. Yeah, I went to a lot of different countries, a lot of really dangerous countries, and there's a limit to what I can do to be effective. At a certain point, you become so famous, you actually aren't able to get information out without impacting the circumstance yourself. So if you're interested in winning a tribal battle, then, I mean, this has been fantastic. News breaks, Andy Ngo was attacked. If you're interested in winning on principles, you need to make sure you're getting out, you know, sound and good information. But that being said, look, I respect Andy tremendously. I've known him for a long time. I interviewed him on this channel way long time ago when I was up in Portland. And I completely agree that what he's doing is so important. That's why I'm mad that he went down there on his own. I wasn't doing what the left was doing and accused him of being, you know, a grifter who's just trying to make money. I was saying, like, you're going to get yourself hurt. You don't have security. Right. I'll say two more things on this. I don't want to keep hashing it out. Like, I'd love to have this conversation with Andy here. Many conservatives, when the news came out that it was potentially Andy and we didn't know, a handful of conservatives and people on the right expressed to me privately how upset they would be if they found out Andy actually did that. When the news broke, silence. Why? They're scared to speak out against him for, you know, look what's happened. You know, people are thumbs downing my video. They're insulting me on Twitter. They're telling me I'm wrong. They're basically saying like, oh, yeah, I'm not going to follow you anymore and all that stuff. I'm not. OK, fine. People are saying Tim's a grifter who's just trying to get views. And I'm like, if that were the case, I wouldn't have criticized him. Why would I do that? But there are a lot of conservatives who I've spoken to who will not speak out. And I'm like, that is the exact same problem the left has. They won't speak out against what they think is wrong because they're scared. I'm not. But I will mention that. I will also mention there's a lot of journalists that we have that you know, we know that do on the ground work and do report on Antifa. And many have expressed privately that they're going to be moving on, or they're planning their big move from field reporting once they become too famous. Some of these people used to be on the ground all the time and have now launched podcasts because they are much too famous. Mm. And you become a target and makes you ineffective. So there we go. All right. Wraith Customs Firearm says, Tim, let everyone know the ATF is trying to make millions of us felons overnight again with new regs on braces to make them NFA. Tweeted with how to comment on ATF 2021R-08 to stop them because you have reach. Shout out to WraithCustomsFirearms.com. So I hope you guys have something on your website that could help. I can direct them to WraithCustomsFirearms.com. And definitely, we need to get rid of these ridiculous broken gun control laws. They clearly haven't worked. No matter how many times they ban guns, they still complain every day there's gun violence. Clearly what they're doing isn't working. At a certain point, you need to say, hey, all those things you got over the past 80 years didn't work. Maybe we should stop. No, but if it's broken, keep doing it, I suppose. Samuel Eddy says, I say we solve this immigration issue once and for all by reactivating the doctrine of manifest destiny. You can't enter the U.S. illegally from the southern border if it's all American soil.
Heck yeah. So,
oh my gosh.
Yes, conquest.
Let's go.
All right. Spenit Game says, dear fellow apes, help another gorilla rocket moon by backing my board game Cindershire on Kickstarter. Ape strong together. I bought more AMZ.
Nice. I said a tweet about that.
Yeah, I was like, I had lettuce hands. The other day, I was like, I saw, and I was like, I woke up, and I was like, meh, this is fun. It's fun. No, but, you know, what's coming out? There's Black Widow's coming out.
The movie.
Yeah, and there's a couple other movies, and I was like, I kind of want to have some movie stuff, because these are big. Like, I think this will be good for their earnings. I don't know, I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on any of this stuff, not giving anyone financial advice, but I actually really like the idea of movie theaters.
Yeah, and with COVID kind of ending, you know, that's movie theaters will be opening back up.
It's like the only thing I really like going out to do.
Yeah, it's
like,
fun.
What are we going to go eat?
Honestly, yeah, I hear you.
I always tell people, like, what do we do? We put food in our mouths? Hey, we want to go out. What, we're going to imbibe something?
Go to the park.
I want to put something in my eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. Something different.
Exactly.
Right. Go to the theater, sit there, and put it in my eyes and ears.
Shout out to Cindershire, the game on Kickstarter.
Is that what I'm saying?
There you go. Oh, here we go. Mike G says, Tim, saw that you FOMO'd back into AMC. Now that you're an ape again, you must change your Twitter profile pic to a green laser eyes. According to ancient ape laws, the prophecy must be fulfilled.
Apes are green laser eyes, yeah.
I didn't FOMO. I'm not confident in a lot of what people are saying. It's not fear of missing out. I was just kind of like, I like the stock.
So it was going up, you sold. Did it go up more and you bought, or did it go back down and you bought?
Same.
Yeah.
But you know, I cashed out some of the profits. I don't have as much as I did before. But I'm looking at all these different stocks, and I've got some like ammo companies. I got a graphene company. Definitely got a graphene company, and it's performed well.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I don't even know what to get. So I was like, AMC's like, I shouldn't have even sold it because I do like it. Mm. You know, I and a lot of people try to justify why it's not good. And I'm like, dude, your theories about why the stock should go up or down are irrelevant to me. Like, people are saying it's not worth it because they don't make money. I'm like, oh, people like it, though. You know, so it seems good to me. I like movies. Yeah, I bought it. There you go. Here we go. Oh, this is interesting. Apparently, Ian is correct. Armchair Engineering says the restaurant chain was originally named Buffalo Wild Wings and Weck. The original BW3 restaurant was on High Street in Columbus.
Ian, allow me to formally apologize for making fun of you. You were correct the entire time.
It is welcome, Seamus. It is welcome. Hey, if you like that, definitely check out Quaker Steak and Lube if you live in Ohio or Pennsylvania. It's on the border, and it is one of the best wing places in the world.
Interesting to me.
I hope they're still open.
I'll check it out.
James Ramirez says, my wife and daughter are not American citizens. I have been overseas for over 9 years. I was waiting for Trump. Now I'm waiting for Biden. My family is on my orders over a year. I signed for this, but it's my family. Where is the government for help?
Yeah.
Oh, man, the B-dubs thing. People are mad at us.
Yes. Oh, boy.
You are right, Ian.
No.
BW3.
I never thought the thing I'd have to publicly apologize for was getting B-dubs wrong.
This super chat, Tim and Seamus are the stupidest. I'm just kidding. The Neo Enigma says, y'all are killing me. B-dubs was originally called Buffalo Wild Wings and Weck, founded in Ohio. BW3s for short. Changed it to its current name in 1998.
Aha.
Look at us.
Right.
That was my 21st birthday.
Really, the fool was I.
Kent, Ohio.
Ian, you need to be more confident.
All right.
Ian, honestly.
Let's go, guys.
This should be Ian Cast IRL. Right. I've made
I'm taking you there.
Don't say that.
Barbara Albright says, hey, Tim, I completely agree with you on Andy Ngo. Also, if you are still hiring writers, I would love to join your crew. Which email do I go to again? jobs@timcast.com. Yeah, so we've got one. We may have already found one person so far who's going to like oversee a lot of it. We need a field reporter. Yeah, we need our own riot crew.
Oh yeah,
yeah, for people to go out and go undercover and do investigative reporting. And man, I'd love to have like 12 people just like infiltrating all these different Antifa groups.
Hmm.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe we ought to do. Maybe we've been working on something.
Because I'm sick of Tim sending me.
Yeah, you've been so good at it, though.
Yeah, I know. Honestly, I blend in with them really well.
Lots of undercover stuff we're looking forward to doing, but probably not the same kind of stuff that O'Keefe does. You know, ours is going to be more like reporting on the ground. And what we're going to end up doing is having a lot of freelancers. That's one way you get around recognizability, I suppose, or notoriety of your reporter. They get too well known. Well, you know, you use a group of different people, you get some legit conflict reporters to film, and then you take the footage back, you take their report, and then, you know, we're going to do stuff like that. So it's all coming soon. All right. Preston Tem says, watched your video on China-U.S. Pacific escalation, and my immediate reaction was, sick, now we get to play Battlefield 4 IRL in a few months. BF4 setting is CN/RU versus U.S. war starting in late 2020. Well then.
Oh, boy.
It's not a video game. I know you're just joking.
Phil says, what Ian expressed about what happened to Rome via immigration has happened here. Many areas of the country are now just colonies of foreign countries.
That's what I was thinking. It's happening so slow because we're in it. You know, I mean, you've made this point a few times, Tim, that like things happen over decades. Like the American Revolution is like a 20-year process, but we just read about a history book like it just happened one day. And we're in the middle of this crazy, and I'm wondering if that thing is happening here right now. I haven't seen like a military takeover city, but you see the autonomous zones.
Yeah. Juan Rota says, I'm DACA. I know what my parents did was wrong, but I was 4 when I came here. I've been in this country for 22 years. I just want the opportunity. Do it right. I love this country. I'm in favor of DACA. I'm in favor of the people who were brought here as children through, you know, like not realizing what's going on. And now they're here. And it's like all of a sudden you realize you can't be a citizen. I think that's a problem. I think we should provide some kind of path to citizenship. Probably, you know, I don't know, something. However, it has to come with a hard stop. It has to come with like a, we do this now, we never do it again. The problem is, I think that's where we're already at. We're already at the point where we're like, okay, we'll naturalize these people who are not citizens, but we'll never do it again. And then they do it again, and they do it again, and they do it again. It's tough.
I've been hearing stories since I was like six in the 80s where people come over and have their baby in the United States just so the kid was a citizen. And then mm-hmm. the mom would leave,
or
the kid would be a citizen.
Only Tim says, hey, Tim, Seamus, love you guys' work. I'm 20 and from Idaho. I've been watching you guys since about 2016. I keep trying to explain to my friends about how the left is breaking the system and can be racist, but they refuse to listen. Any advice? I always ask them this. Do you agree with Dr. King's dream? Seamus?
Can you ask the question again?
Do you agree with Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream?
Yes, I would say so.
I do.
Lydia?
I do, yeah.
Ask them that. That one day his four little children will be judged by the content of the character and not the color of their skin.
I love that quote.
And when they say yes, invariably, ask them how that dream is being served by policies that are based on race.
Yep.
If they want affirmative action, how does that serve Dr. King's dream? Just ask them that. Does that serve Dr. King's dream?
Part of me wonders if they're just going to drop him altogether soon.
Oh, they've already been trying to. Yeah. They've been arguing. Yeah, so a lot of leftists have been arguing that it was he was pushing white supremacy and colorblindness.
Mm. Oh, my goodness.
I mentioned this. During the riots in Ferguson and in Baltimore, there were people saying that there were black activists, Black Lives Matter, saying segregation, the end of segregation was bad for them because it forced them into the white man's system, which they were below because they didn't have the same level of resources. And that when they were separate, they had their own family system, they had their own churches, they had their own businesses, they had their own Wall Street. So there's a lot of people, and that's one of the reasons they push this stuff. Yeah, I don't know what you do about it. Sporkwitch says, never forget, quantity has a quality all its own. It was Russia's strategy in the Cold War, cheap but plentiful. It is China's strategy as well. It is the communist strategy, because the individual doesn't matter to them. Which reminds me about this, I think it's called as a PA-63, I think it's Hungarian. It's a Soviet-era rifle. It's chambered in 9mm Makarov. And nobody ever wants to use it at the range because it hurts to shoot.
Hmm.
It bites it between your thumb. It hurts. And so nobody wants to use it. I tried wearing a glove. Still hurts.
Ugh.
And so, you know, the modern weapons we use, you know, the Beretta, the Glock or whatever, they're comfortable. And I was like, you think about it. Soviet Union. They're like, I don't care if it hurts you. Does it work? All right, then make it. Mass produce it. Cheap, garbage, hurts, painful, whatever.
In Soviet Grin Russia.
And that's how I am with my cartoons.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I don't care if it hurts you. We have to get them done quickly.
Freedom Tunes
that's
cartoon.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow, look at this. Ben D. says, Tim, don't look at the Air Force, look at the Navy. 75% of our deployed Nimitz-class aircraft carriers are in striking distance to China. Hundreds of ships have moved into the area of the last year. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Y'all ready for this?
We got to keep them somewhere.
It's going to get hot.
That's right, Ian. I like the optimism.
You know what just bothers
be,
me?
Just be where they wanted
it's the
to
it's
be.
The idea of a war on two fronts. And I know that Afghanistan is, I mean, Russia, the wild card is Russia. How does Vladimir Putin and his buddies think about this? Do they want to support China and Chinese interests? Do they want to support the United States and curb Chinese, you know, militant authoritarianism? Because they're right there on the border.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, here we go. Check this out. The One True Madrigal says, if Taiwan falls, the Chinese will claim the South Japanese Islands, Korea, and the Straits of Malacca. Because why would we stop them then? They'll control 25% of goods transported globally and 90% of crude oil. Alistair Vusin says, Taiwan is more of a country than John Cena is an actor. Americans need to toughen up fast because everyone knows the storm is coming. Maybe we need it so that we can strain out un-American ideologues. Oh, man, you do not want war, dude.
No.
Or a witch hunt on other Americans.
Richard Cook says, haha, if you are depending on Californians to repel the Chinese, you are more screwed than I thought. China won't invade. They already own the U.S.
And FYI, China would invade through South America or Central America, not the West Coast, and then they'd come up over the land.
I think they would do a series of strategic cyber attacks on critical infrastructure. Maybe they would start with, like, our oil production.
Oh, yeah.
So that way it would cause economic catastrophe, would reduce our ability to produce and move resources. They probably then start going after food to create shortages, which would then cause panic. Because when food prices get too high, people protest and riot.
I don't think they want a war. I just don't think they want a war. Maybe economic destabilization, but, like, no war. I don't think anybody wants that right now. Even Lockheed doesn't want a total war.
I agree with you. Do you think, though, at a certain point, China does things where we're forced to go to war? Like, we can't just let them keep doing it?
kind of that encroachment on territory thing is a tough one. Like the Nazis took Czechoslovakia, they took Poland, and you had at some point, it was just like, what are they going to take next?
And so it was like, we had no choice, right?
Yeah.
What do you think the Chinese are telling themselves right now?
The Americans are militant imperialisms.
Who are seizing more countries, moving more troops into Syria. Mm-hmm. If we don't stop them,
they're
what do we do?
Surrounding us with their aircraft carriers.
That's right.
We're under siege.
They're probably looking, this is what people don't realize about war. So here's a way I describe it to people. Imagine you're in the middle of the woods. You're in the middle of nowhere. You have no idea where you are.
Mm-hmm.
You have a gun. You've got a small bag of food and a little bit of water. You're running out. You don't know where your next meal will be. Finally, as you're walking off in the distance, you see somebody who looks different, but they have a rifle as well. It appears a small bag of food and some water. What do you do? You both just spot each other a couple hundred yards off. What do you do?
Signal.
Signal how?
Raise my hand in the air.
What does that do?
If I see them go for their gun, I'm going to duck for cover.
And then you raise your hand, and the moment your hand goes up, they reach for their gun. They put their hand on their gun.
Oh, I think I would get down, and then yell out, call out to them.
Call
out. Don't speak English now. Yep. We're in trouble.
Then they yell back, Kabbalah, blah babo.
Hmm.
Yeah.
This is the challenge, right? A lot of people like to say things like, "Oh, I would just go and meet them and say hello." How do you know they're hostile? How do you know they won't be like, I can't afford to feed two people. You're not going to help me. I'm taking your stuff.
Dude, did you guys ever watch The Walking Dead? That was my problem with Rick Grimes, the main character of The Walking Dead. He had this shoot first policy, spoiler alert. And like, I kept wanting him to like create a community and like lead a community. But all he wanted, he was so afraid that everyone was going to be hostile.
How long did you watch for?
About four seasons.
Oh, dude, I'm such a sucker. I watched it for like 9 seasons. And maybe two of them were good.
Once the governor.
That show is so
I feel like it jumped. It lost the plot after the governor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, we got the super chat here. Connor O'Brien says, Tim, you finally mentioned a job that my experience is relevant to. Please check out the resume that I've emailed a few times, along with copious updates on my firm CRT stuff. Help me help you. Yeah, do you want to write down that name, Connor O'Brien? We'll take a look.
It's a good Irish name.
That's
I like
right.
The Irish infiltration of
yes.
Tim Cass Studios.
The Irish infiltration. I'm Irish.
I know. But it could have been the sneaky. British infiltration. I know you said you're at war with yourself constantly. The Irish and the British half. And I'm glad to see one side is winning. That's all.
Connor O'Brien.
Puka says, thank you, Tim, for separating Trump supporters from these weak and spineless Republicans. It's so annoying when we get lumped in with them. Keep up the good work. Absolutely. I also don't like it that the left gets lumped in with liberals. Because they are so different. I can agree with leftists on gun control. They're like, Karl Marx says, you know, under no pretext. And I'm like, I will accept that argument insofar as it allows me to stay armed.
Yeah.
You know, I don't agree
with
you on the rest
of it. Bro, you are supporting the right thing for the wrong reason.
That's
but
right.
It's the right thing. So.
If it means I get to keep my guns, you know. Yeah. But yeah, Trump supporters were the insurgents that came in and told the Republicans shove off. And the Republicans hated it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. All right, let's see. We'll try and raise as many as we can, but we got to. All right, yep, more people mentioning Ian was right. Kevin White says it was BW3s. Buffalo Wild Wings began in the Midwest as Buffalo Wild Wings and WEC.
Great restaurant. Ooh,
I'm tired of being shamed for getting this wrong.
Shame
I still don't know. I'll look into
Tim
it.
And I are just getting grilled.
Nicodemus says, you know that feeling you get when you're about to jump off the high board into a pool? That pit in your stomach? As military, I'm getting that feeling. I'm trained and ready for war, but man, I pray it never happens.
Mm. I'm praying that same prayer, brother.
I was talking about this earlier. The U.S. military wouldn't draft anybody, you know, if a war broke out. They'd probably just go to young people and say, we will cancel all of your student loan debt for 2 years service. And they're going to be like, wow. They're going to say, we'll pay you $20,000 a year or, you know, $15,000 a year for 2 years plus all your debts wiped out. You know what that means? Look, you're not going to be spending that money, right? So you're going to get out with like 20 grand and you're going to be able to do whatever you want. And then they're going to be like, dude, awesome. And then they're going to like sign the paperwork. It's going to say like MOS, like, you know, combat infantry or something. And, you know.
You used to go to college to avoid the military.
Hmm.
Well, now people go into the military to avoid student loans. They want that GI Bill.
Yeah, I figured out what WEC is. Buffalo Wild Wings and WEC. Beef on WEC is a popular sandwich in New York consisting of roast beef on au jus soaked cummel WEC roll.
Ooh.
That's where it comes from.
Wow, look at this.
Sounds good.
Jurassic Josh says, the video game channels I follow will not criticize China. They talk about how Winnie the Pooh references are banned in China but won't say why. What do you say about this? That's why we're in trouble, man, because that the Chinese communist money is just too good. I know it's kind of paradoxical, isn't it? Yeah. But they've exploited us to the degree where major institutions and businesses are just like, I don't want to offend China because they pay my bills.
There is a quote which is falsely attributed to Lenin, though it is relevant nonetheless. The capitalists will sell us the rope with which we will hang them. That is the perfect description of the situation with China right now.
Rex Carzalot says, sorry to break the news, Tim, but Buffalo Wild Wings is anti-2A. I've heard they lobby for anti-2A, but haven't been able to find any articles, sources for that, though.
How do you feel
they
about that,
They kick off-duty cops out, too. Well, I that's got to be proven, because that's a very serious allegation against a very delicious restaurant.
Well, we have our resident Buffalo Wild Wings expert right here.
Well, speaking of Wild Wings, I have no idea.
Let me just point something out, right? You can go get a big old greasy burger, and you can get it from B-Dubs with French fries and salt. Or if you can get some nice wings with some barbecue sauce and carrots on the side.
They do give you carrots, sometimes celery sticks.
Hmm. That's right, either or. Fancy. Now, what's healthier, French fries or carrots and celery?
Hmm. Carrots and celery.
Absolutely. That's why you go to B-Dubs, you get a nice chicken meal with vegetables.
I heard if you eat 50 different types of vegetables in a week, those are the people with the healthiest biomes gut biomes in the world.
I can see it.
That's including, like, seasonings, herbs, coffee.
GG Player says, wow, is Seamus going to be the new Luke?
Plants, not
Luke's sure. Coming back.
Yeah, that's right. He's going to kick me out. Luke's going to pick me up and throw me out of this chair.
Oh, maybe we'll just have,
four chairs.
We are actually upgrading the studio. We've just been waiting for this computer because of the shortages. We're going to be moving the location of the studio. Same building, but different area. We are trying to get a completely different setup, and it's going to require probably like a full studio build, which means the cameras will probably be mounted in the, we're going to do it right. I don't think anybody knows what this room looks like. It's like really just...
Don't tell them.
Yeah.
You'll kill the mystery of it.
It's like 25,000 square feet.
It's one of the most amazing rooms I've ever been in, quite frankly.
Yes, it's,
I'm up here and you're down there.
It's true, yeah.
You're down there.
Like different levels.
Yeah, people don't realize. Like, Ian's actually not even the same room as us.
He's completely different. That's how we keep
Seamus is outside.
That's where I have to stay.
That's true.
He's doing video chat.
But yeah, no, I am not here permanently. I'm visiting for a little while because I love these people.
We're
trying some things out.
Well, the goal is I think we want like maybe even like 8 possible seats or more. So we can have total just like battle royale, people yelling over each other.
That'll be fun to switch for.
Yeah,
it's going to be cool to get a bunch of on-the-ground reporters at one time, like Andy and who else? Elijah
Schaefer. I mean, we've had the Riot Squad here all at the same time.
That was really fun.
Stuff like that's awesome.
All right, Jamie Arzola says, since we're playing resume hookups, will you please give my 5th or 6th entry a look?
Yeah,
can you write down the Jamie Arzola?
Can do.
All right, let's see. We'll do a couple more here.
How do I spell that?
Arzola.
Perfect, I was right.
All right, Justin McGillivary says, go read War is a Racket by Major General Smedley D. Butler. It's 25 pages. The audiobook is 45 minutes. The book tells how there were 21,000 new millionaires made between 1914 and 1918, and some of the core sold for both sides. Interesting. Creepy, man. All right. Rob Santana says, Tim, what do you make of Trump saying BTC is a scam because it undermines the dollar? Isn't that the point? Decentralization? Donald Trump gave Bitcoin probably one of the best endorsements, in my opinion. Mm. And I'm a big proponent of Bitcoin, so I own a fair amount. He said, it competes with the dollar, and we want the dollar to be the currency around the world. And I was like, wow, what did Trump just say? Bitcoin is hard competition for the U.S. dollar and is undermining its position as the global currency. Now, that's the best endorsement I've heard for Bitcoin because, like, even if it never overtakes the dollar, you just straight up said it is on an equal footing after 10 years? Mm-hmm. Woo! So I bought more Bitcoin when Trump said that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's all like, right. And so it's like, there's a dip right now. And I'm like, I got to be honest. I don't care. It could go down to a dollar. I would just buy as much as I could.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, and other currencies too,
Oh, yeah, it did dip hard. It's down to 33 now.
Yep. That's an opportunity, in my opinion.
That's
I'm not telling anybody what to do.
Not financial advice.
No, I bought some, though. All right, my friends, if you haven't already, smash that like button, subscribe to this channel, share the URL to this show, and leave us a good review on iTunes or wherever you may be listening to it. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at TimCastIRL. And the reason we're, adamant, or I shouldn't say adamant, but the reason we're like, we're going to do a Facebook is that It's just where a lot of people are, and we're hoping that a lot more shares will drive people to the website, timcast.com, because we're launching a newsroom very, very soon. I mean, I think our timeline is supposed to be like a week or two. I know I said that last time, like, we're getting a new website. It was like a month after I said it was supposed to come out. But one of the issues going to hold us back is we got to definitely hire these reporters, and they've got to be here in time for the launch so that we have the newsroom up and running. Otherwise, it'll be like a very limited aggregator for the time being. But it's all thanks to your membership. And I'll stress, when we launched timcast.com, we did not expect this many people to sign up so quickly. And all of a sudden, I was like staring at a bank account where I'm like, I think we're going to start a newsroom and like hire like crazy and build a crazy website and like take this, you know, we've got the opportunity to do so. We don't need investors anymore. So people are invested, and I'm like, let's make it happen. It's tough though, man. My brain is like on fire, you know, working every day. I think there's a lot of people who don't understand YouTube is not the end all be all. There's a lot of YouTubers who like dedicate all their time and energy to YouTube. That's a mistake I made very early on. Mm-hmm. Should have started a website a year ago or a year and a half ago. Hmm. So I was just like YouTube, YouTube views, subscribers, YouTube, YouTube, YouTube. And I'm like, that was a big mistake.
So like a subscription model?
No, it's like a company that's bigger, that's better.
But you would have worked the subscription website a year ago, going back?
Not necessarily. I'm just saying like not focusing everything on YouTube. YouTube is not the end all be all, and too many people are.
It used to bother me. People were like, I'm a YouTuber, because in 2006, 2007, I'm like, no, you're an internet video maker. You're using YouTube as your platform right now, but it's the video that's the power, not the. It doesn't matter what site.
Mm-hmm. Right. James O'Keefe was kicked off Twitter, and he's still putting out videos that are getting massive play and getting millions of views because, like he says, James says, content is king. But anyway, so subscribe and go to timcast.com. And just right now, it's basically like an aggregator for all of my content and the Timcast style clips and the vlog clips. And then we've got the members only section. But coming soon, we're going to be commissioning op-eds from other writers. We're going to be having like a literal news editor who's going to be, you know, we're going to have articles, op-eds, opinions, analysis. It's going to be your lovable centrist milquetoast outlet. And we're going to take fact checking very seriously. And so we're looking to hire a hardcore newsroom journalist whose job is going to be to do fact checking and investigation. And they're going to be writing most of the day. We're looking to commission people to go on the ground and do field reporting. We're looking for a dedicated fact checker who's going to be in a different building who will then look over the pieces and do independent fact checking. So it'll be double fact checked from a fact checker, fact checking the news, and then getting fact checked themselves. And then we're going to have mini docs, short films, all that stuff. And we're looking to also have freelance writers from across the country writing different stories and taking submissions. So we'll have a news editor for that. So a lot of jobs that we got to hire for now. And all of those jobs will be in the building. So you will have to be in the Eastern West Virginia, Maryland area, just so you know, but feel free to submit. And Seamus, I hear you got a YouTube channel.
I do. Yeah. YouTube.com/FreedomTunes. Just check my channel out. You can just Google Freedom Tunes and, we're at 643,000. It'd be awesome to get up to 650,000 if you guys want to go over there and subscribe. We're also planning on releasing a video tomorrow and then another video Thursday. I'm really excited. The one that we have slated for tomorrow is one which Tim and I voiced yesterday or no, last week.
So
I think
good.
Friday, and yeah. We were crying laughing.
I heard you guys through the laughing. Floor.
So yeah, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Ian can verify. Mm. We're crying laughing. YouTube.com/FreedomTunes.
Seamus. Do you have a merch site?
I also have freedomtunesmerch.com if you want to check that out. Yeah, freedomtunesmerch. Just go there, buy a t-shirt.
Tomorrow.
If you would like.
Tomorrow.
It's not financial advice.
Can we announce what you're putting out tomorrow? Or no, keep it a secret.
How much? I'm trying to figure
can
out how
I just
much
say that
I'll...
I'm too late. I said it. I'm in it.
No, yeah, I said so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we were recording. Yeah, Tim is in it. Tim is in it.
It was one of the funniest, like, half an hour VO sessions.
So good.
Yeah,
we
were
so hard to record because we were laughing so much.
We were crying. And then we, like, improv'd an idea for a completely different video afterwards. So we're going to have...
That's the best stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to have another video we've collaborated on.
Can I give him a hint?
Yes, of course.
Droplet.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, I'm so pumped. Yeah, so go over to Freedom Tunes and subscribe, please.
You guys can also follow me at IanCrossland.net. I want to give a shout out to whoever sent me this cool ring.
Oh, cool.
Keep sending me, people send me books and little gems at the P.O. box from time to time.
Ian,
so keep it up.
Is that blinking? Ian, that has a GPS
this
tracker
is
in it. Ian, take
the
that
Infinity
off.
Gem.
It's a BMS.
Oh, they tracked me?
It's a GPS tracker in it.
It's a plant.
Someone gave Ian the Infinity ring.
Yeah.
Infinity.
Now I have ultimate power. Well, I had ultimate power.
He's going to snap
and everything's graphy.
No,
we got graphene over here.
Within you.
Yeah. People become graphene. They're like, what's happened to me?
Special shout out to Cast Castle. the newest addition to the Timcast Media Network, because last week I made some bread, made some cricket bread. Ooh. It's actually up now at youtube.com/castcastle, the newest episode. And you can see I accidentally used avocado oil when I think I meant to be used olive oil. And I was using half cup of flour, not a full cup. People were like, he's using too much flour. It was half a cup of flour. But if you want to see how that's done by eyeball, go check it out.
Yeah, he's actually quite good at baking bread. He's been working on it since we were in New Jersey. He's quite talented. I do want to say before I go that I do have a very positive spin on all this nonsense and what Seamus was talking about, how hard times are in fact going to create strong men. I think that if you're planning on having kids in the near future, you should be preparing them for the future. It's a little bit like when you get to the top of the roller coaster and you know the drop is coming and you just got to kind of grit your teeth because there's nothing you can do about it. You bought the ticket. You're on the ride. Yeah. And your kids are going to be strong people. You better make them into good ones. Anyway, you can follow me at Sour Patch Lids on Twitter if you'd like to.
For more nuggets like that, should
That's
be tweeting
right.
those out.
Good stuff.
We are going to have a bonus segment which would get us banned from YouTube instantly if I even mention what we're going to be talking about. I'm not even kidding. It's seriously dark stuff.
I don't even know what it is yet. So,
but it's affecting our society in a very, very awful way. And so we'll bring it up and go to timcast.com, become a member, and we'll see you all there.
Bye, guys. Love-